Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. And 4:02, we welcome you in a Tuesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5 FM as well here in Cedar Rapids, and in Iowa City, 106.3 FM. Online, KGYMradio.com. Great show for you today, as the countdown to kickoff continues with the penultimate check-in prior to Big Ten Football Media Days in Chicago on Thursday. We got two teams left to take a look at. One of them is going to be a title contender in the league this year. The other one, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Unfortunately, we have to talk Rutgers football today. We'll do so with Keith Sargent coming up in about 15 minutes.
As bad as you might have thought Rutgers was last year, digging through the stats and looking at things, it was actually worse than you might imagine.
We'll get into that and more with Keith here in hour number one. Also on the way today, we got three more guests after we chat with Keith Sargent. The 5 o'clock hour is going to kick off with Alex Halstead, who covers the Iowa State Cyclones for Cyclone Alert on the 24/7 Sports Network. Alex, like most of the Central Iowa media, in Arlington, Texas for Big 12 Football Media Days. Day two is wrapping up as we speak. Friend of the show, Paul Banks, is going to stop by. He's got a brand new book out. Met Paul a couple years ago, who has covered the Big Ten and sports for a while in the Chicago area, and have gotten to know him fairly well. He's going to let you know what's inside his book. We'll even pick his brain ahead of Big Ten Football Media Days. And then the 6 o'clock hour tonight, your opportunity to hear from Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. Of course, we saw a trade go down last night involving the Chicago Cubs. More on that later. But Mike Montgomery, who got the last out of the 2016 World Series, now a member of the organization that originally drafted him in the first round. Back in 2008, Mike Montgomery goes to the Kansas City Royals, and the Cubs receive Martin Maldonado just in the nick of time as catcher Wilson Contreras goes on the 10-day injured list. Cubs falling to Cincinnati last night, but very few people actually talking about the result of that game. Lots more to get to today, as well as an opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, 1060. Old Marion Road, to be exact. We'll be back at Mulligan's next Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. You know this already, but I did it. I broke down today. We've been talking so much football, and with Big Ten Football Media Days on the horizon Thursday and Friday, and for those of you who may be just tuning in, Alex and I will once again be broadcasting from Chicago both days, Thursday, Friday, and then I'm back here in Cedar Rapids at Sadler Power Train on Saturday for a big event that they're having. We'll have more details on that coming up in just a few minutes. I broke down, Alex, and I picked up Phil Steele's College Football Preview magazine.
I saw that.
Had to take out a small loan in order to do it.
Did you learn a lot about the 2011 Eastern Michigan team?
I did not get that in-depth into it yet. See, I wish somebody else, if I were not driving myself to Chicago on Thursday, I would be in the passenger seat and I would be devouring all of that information. As is, I spent $15 on that magazine, and if I forget to bring it with me to Chicago, it's just going to sit here on the desk in Cedar Rapids gathering dust, and I will probably crack it open three times all season long. That, by the way, is a very, very valuable piece of information for those of you who like to gamble on college football. There is a ton of information in there that is geared specifically toward people who like to gamble. We've had Phil on the program before. He is a football savant.
He is. We've had him on, it seems like, every other year leading up to college football season, and that publication is so jam-packed with information that he has to create his own shorthand key of words that he uses to save room.
As I like to say, it's fitting 10 pounds of meat into a 5-pound casing.
Correct.
He gets as much information into that book as he can possibly fit. We've got to give you the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, of course, so that you can reach us here, 319-366-1600. You can also pick up the phone and give us a call the old-fashioned way as we prolong talking Rutgers football for at least another 10 to 15 minutes here before the countdown to kickoff. Hopefully, Keith will be with us today. Our apologies for yesterday's Michigan State segment going completely off the rails, but we never did hear from Chris. Did we hear from Chris, Kyle?
We did. And he will actually be joining us tomorrow. His phone died. He apologizes.
Okay.
And we
dead
will,
phone.
We will check with him tomorrow, along with Ohio State.
Have never had a phone die on me.
Really?
Ever.
That's impressive.
I take that back. I did have one that almost exploded, and I couldn't get it to turn on, and I had to go to the store and buy a new phone. But what I mean is, like, when I'm out in the wild, when I'm out and about and just going about my daily business, I obsessively keep my battery charged.
See, so do I, but every once in a while, there's that day that gets away from you.
I've never in my life had a day get away from me. I don't know if you know this about me. I'm not exactly the hardest working guy in the world. So days don't often get away from me all that often.
Even like a fun day?
Can't tell you the last time I had fun. No, I take that back. I take that back. We had a lot of fun this weekend with my son's birthday. 319-366-1600 as we gear up for the countdown to kick off. Again, talking Rutgers football. And then tomorrow, Kyle and Alex will round out the series with Ohio State and Michigan State. A twofer for you on Wednesday. I am off tomorrow. And then you will hear me again Thursday in Chicago at Big Ten Football Media Days. Matt Campbell, one of the five Big 12 coaches who spoke today in Arlington, Texas. Iowa State released its depth chart for the 2019 season. And if you are on Iowa State's roster and you play running back, you are pretty much listed as a possible starter.
And have a scholarship.
Okay, thank you for the caveat. Yes, you have to have a scholarship.
If you have a scholarship, you're on the roster, and you play running back, you are listed as a possible option for that feature back position.
Five names listed at the, and it wasn't two starters and three, it was five names. Open season trying to replace David Montgomery, whom we should all remember only has a 71 rating on the upcoming release of this year's Madden football game.
Honestly, what that tells me is that the freshmen are really talented. Because Breece Hall was there during the spring. Jirell Brock is coming this summer. He's a guy that really hasn't even practiced with the team yet. And is already listed as a possible starter going into the fall. So that tells me the two true freshmen are really good. And they're going to have every single opportunity to win that job.
Iowa State fans, who do you think will ultimately take that gig? Which member of that group of five running backs will rise to the top? 319-366-1600 as we get ready to talk Rutgers football on a beautiful Tuesday here in Eastern Iowa.
Can I throw a statistic out there for Rutgers football that'll tell you everything that you need to know about Rutgers football last season? Their starting quarterback threw four touchdowns. Starting quarterback threw four touchdowns and 18 interceptions last year.
That's a really, really, really bad ratio.
It's not great.
Four touchdowns, 18 interceptions, and you play in the same division as Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State. And everybody else can beat you as well for the most part.
See, their offense was ranked 124th in the country. The fact that there were six teams worse than them was amazing to me.
They had some staff turnover as well. My pal A.J. Blazek's up at North Dakota State now. A couple other coaches either were not brought back by Chris Ash or chose to get out ahead of the posse. I thought Chris Ash would have a little bit more success.
See, there were things that started looking like they were headed in the right direction a couple of seasons ago, and this is what I'm interested to ask Keith about. There were some signs that things were getting better, and last year they were all wiped away. I mean, they're gone. You don't lose 55-7 to Kansas and think that there's some kind of hope in the future for that program. So whatever they had went away with that loss. Or excuse me, 55-14 to Kansas. They lost 55-14 to Kansas last year. Let that sink in.
Kansas football.
And then follow that up losing 42-13 to Buffalo.
This year, Les Miles has more talent on his 2019 Kansas football roster than he did his first year in Stillwater at Oklahoma State. Keep that in mind as we go in to the upcoming football season. Now, Chris Kleiman of Kansas State, also one of the five coaches to speak to the media today. Tom Herman, former Iowa State offensive coordinator, now the head coach of the Texas Longhorns. You want to talk about a team that will have a bullseye on its back? There are a lot of people out there that expect the Texas Longhorns to be a contender for the college football playoff this year.
They will have a bullseye on their back for that reason. They'll also have a bullseye on their back because they are singly the most arrogant, cocky group in the Big 12. And that may be a good thing. I've said this numerous times, but it seems like Tom Herman wants that program in the headlines. He wants to have that aura around him that we're not going to take any crap from anybody and we're going to stir the pot a little bit. His quarterback does it, and it seems like Sam Ellinger, their quarterback, is a direct reflection of the head coach, Tom Herman. You see him on the sidelines taunting other players. I think he's a great coach. I know he rubs a lot of people the wrong way in college football and in the Big 12.
Your thoughts on the Big 12 and college football in general, 319-366-1600, as we continue to make our way through hour number one here on 1600 AM. Also heard on 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym here in Cedar Rapids. And a reminder, we'll give away a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub coming up sometime before 7 o'clock tonight. Mulligan's will host us next Thursday for our next KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Some Hawkeye football news in the headlines today as well. Collegefootballnews.com has named A.J. Epinesa the preseason defensive player of the year in the Big Ten. And again, if this were Ohio State or Michigan, he would be getting so much attention nationally going into the season. I don't feel like that's the case. I think he's being overlooked somewhat nationally by a lot of the talking heads at this point. But we're talking about a player who has yet to start a game in college. If you had a player at Michigan or Ohio State who had yet to start a game in college and people were naming him the preseason defensive player of the year, you'd probably see him on the cover of ESPN the magazine, which is at least for the moment still in production because the latest issue just arrived in my mailbox last night featuring somebody who's been on the program with us before in the past, WWE superstar Becky Lynch, along with Allison Brie.
They were on the cover of ESPN the magazine?
Yeah, I briefly glimpsed at it before it went into the recycling bin. I've read most of the articles online already. That's part of the problem.
I feel like people who cover college football know who AJ Epinesa is. It's the people. I do agree, though, the talking heads, the vast media who may not necessarily watch a ton of college football may not know who he is, but they will. He will be probably a top 15 pick in next year's draft. He was one of the most dominant players in the Big Ten last year and going into this year. That's why I was surprised to hear that he was picked as the preseason Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. There are a ton of good, not just defensive players going into this year, but elite-level edge defenders and defensive ends. Chase Young at Ohio State, Kenny Willekes at Michigan State, and Yeter Gross-Matos at Penn State. Those guys all could end up in the top 20 of the draft, and A.J. Epenesa stands out even among the elite-level defenders in the Big Ten.
Kyle will have more on that during his first Big Board update today. Three times a day, we bring you Big Board updates courtesy of Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. I feel like we're burying the lead here with regard to the news coming out of Big 12 football media days in Arlington, Texas.
Is it mullet related? That was yesterday.
The horns down gesture will no longer automatically be a penalty.
Good.
According to Greg Burks, who is the coordinator of officials for the Big 12 Conference, the gesture will be a penalty if it's prolonged or directed at an opposing team or its fans, which is ridiculous to say because it's one team. Nobody, when West Virginia and Iowa State play, nobody is giving West Virginia horns down. That doesn't make any sense. But I'm reading here the language from Greg Burks's media availability today, that the gesture will be a penalty only if it's prolonged or directed at an opposing team. If it's quick and at the player's own fans, it probably won't be called. His advice, however, save it for the sideline.
What's the fun in that? Like, see, these are the college football moments I cherish. David Sills, West Virginia, 2 years ago, catches a pass in the end zone, looks at the Texas student section, gives him the horns down on the game-winning touchdown. Okay, these are the types of moments that people love about college football. And you're going to tell David Sills in the moment that he has to go to the sideline?
Well,
that's boring.
If you're not going to let the kids have fun, at least we know that they're being handsomely compensated for what they're doing. Oh, wait. They're not getting paid, and they're not allowed to have fun. 319-366-1600. You can weigh in on that and more on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. We mentioned the trade in Major League Baseball last night. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, the first to report that the Chicago Cubs had acquired Martin Maldonado from the Kansas City Royals. The cost? Left-handed reliever Mike Montgomery, who's no longer a left-handed reliever. He is set to start on Friday for the Kansas City Royals, according to multiple reports. Montgomery wanted to be a starter. He wasn't necessarily the happiest person working out of the bullpen, so this gives him an opportunity to do what he wants to do and gives the Cubs a little insurance for Wilson Contreras, who goes on the injured list with a right arch muscle strain. I've never heard that particular injury before, but the prevailing thought was that if he tried to play through it, he would only make the injury worse. Martin Maldonado, by the way, immediately inserted into the starting lineup with the Cubs tonight as they continue that series, game 2 of 3 against the Cincinnati Reds. Maldonado expected to catch Alec Mills, called up from AAA, to start for the Cubs tonight. Both of those guys coming from the Royals, Mills a couple years ago, but Maldonado says he has no familiarity with him. One of the better defensive catchers, sometimes an elite defensive catcher, although he's been just a little bit above average this year. He certainly is an upgrade defensively over Wilson Contreras, and hitting .288 in the last 3 weeks with the Royals before coming over to the Cubs. So a minor deal. He's owed the remainder of a $2.5 million salary. He's a free agent at the end of the season, so this is the textbook definition of a rental, if ever there was one. We've got baseball coming your way tonight on 107.5 FM, The North Gym. It's the Minnesota Twins stepping into interleague play to take on the perennial dumpster fire, the New York Mets. That's appointment listening right there. Twins, Mets for you tonight on 107.5 FM. And we do appreciate everybody who reached out, speaking of the Mets, over the last 48 hours or so, to share their interactions with my former co-host, Tyler Ryder, who was back in Eastern Iowa over the weekend as he was in a wedding. And I did get a chance to catch up with him the other day at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Things are going quite well for him, for those of you who are interested. And I drew the line anytime he tried to pick my brain for segments or tried to figure out what we were doing here. I threw up a mental block in my head. Don't say anything about all these great segments that we're bringing to the air here, because they're just going to wind up on The Animal, WNML.
Is he still a Mets fan? I know that there was some question.
I believe he said they weren't going to get any more of his money. And to the best of my knowledge, he has not spent any money with the Mets franchise lately. So he's still following the team. He's just not going to fork over any money this point. Yeah, why not? We'll get you some other baseball information before we get off the air tonight as well. High school baseball is getting into the postseason. 319-366-1600. Again, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertin and Stocker is Iowa City's most trusted jeweler, and they have been so for over 70 years. You can stop in and ask a question if you want. A member of the Dickens family is always there. Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. On site, 101 South Dubuque Street in downtown Iowa City on the Ped Mall, which is, I believe, still under construction, as is one of the main ways to get here to the KGYM studios, which has added about a 90 seconds to 2.5 minutes or so to my daily commute. I would never survive in a big city. I could never make it in an area like Chicago where the commute takes hours. Me, I'm inconvenienced by having to drive. We say drive around the block. It's a really, 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 really big block that we're driving around to get here to the KGYM studios. But it's like first world problems for me. I got to drive an extra 2 minutes to get to work. Yeah,
7 minutes instead of five.
The phone still says 3 every day. So now it takes me about 5 minutes to get here. Again, first world problems. 424, we need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to get you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. And the countdown to kickoff will continue as we continue to inch closer to Big Ten Football Media Days on Thursday and Friday in Chicago. Keith Sargent of New Jersey Advanced Media will be with us to give us a preview of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I know you can't wait. I can't wait either. Unfortunately, all of us have to wait till after this.
Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
The Cubs parted ways with another member of the 2016 World Series roster this week, trading left-handed pitcher Mike Montgomery to the Royals for catcher Martin Maldonado. The move sends Montgomery back to the team that originally drafted him in the first round of the 2008 MLB Draft. It was Montgomery who was on the mound for the final out of the 2016 World Series at Progressive Field in Cleveland, inducing a ground out to third base in the 10th inning that sealed the team's first World Series win in 108 years. Maldonado's arrival coincides with catcher Wilson Contreras being placed on the 10-day injured list with a strained arch muscle in his right foot. Maldonado's expected to take over as the team's primary backstop, with Victor Caratini remaining in a backup role. Montgomery becomes the third member of the World Series roster to make the Royals' his next stop after leaving Chicago. Free agent Travis Woods signed with KC in 2017, and that same offseason, outfielder Jorge Soler was traded to the Royals for closer Wade Davis.
Construction is a pain in the butt. Let's just admit it. TCB Pool Hall isn't into that look on the bright side BS. They know you're sick of it too. So every day until Pet Mall construction is over, pool's just $2 an hour. $2. 1 hour of pool, done and done. TCB's 26 rotating taps and 30 plus bottles and cans of suds will ease the pain too. Hang out, play $2 an hour pool. Complain about the construction and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pet Mall, downtown Iowa City.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn. For real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
The perfect soundtrack for your active smart rockin' summer with Smart FM. Playing badminton or croquet in the backyard with the kids. Enjoying the lightning bugs in the evening air.
Whipping up that potato salad for the family get-together? Organizing that garage sale? That first date? Whatever this hectic summer brings your way, you can count on Smart FM to provide the perfect soundtrack. Smart FM, 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
After an off day, the Twins begin a lengthy homestand on Tuesday night. First up, interleague play, a two-game series with the New York Mets. Hi, this is Corey Provis right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
428, we welcome you back in. What a time to be alive in 2019. I now have an app on my phone that tells me every time my son goes to the bathroom at his preschool. Just got the notification here. We showed him this last. It's brand new. They just rolled it out yesterday, and my wife showed him the app. We get little pictures of him throughout the day and everything. He just turned 3 on Saturday. He was mortified.
I'm mortified right now that
we now know everything. It's very Big Brother-ish,
yeah,
which really fits in line with 2019.
It is super creepy.
But
not
he's 3 years old, and he already understands the idea of invasion of privacy and also being mortified and embarrassed by one's parents. So I think we're doing a good job of raising him right. 319-366-1600. I mentioned on Saturday I'm going to be at Sadler Powertrain. We'll have more details on that coming up in just a few minutes. Keith Sargent stopping by from New Jersey Advanced Media to give us a preview of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights as part of our countdown to kickoff. What do Doug and Daddy call their segment? They call theirs just the Big Ten preview or something boring like that, right?
Yeah.
We say the countdown to kickoff. I came up with countdown to kickoff 8 or 9 years ago. And only once, I think, has anybody questioned the name Countdown to Kickoff, because it's really not the Countdown to Kickoff. It's the Countdown to Big Ten Football Media Days, which then you begin a countdown from that point to the actual kick. What are we? We're inside, I think, 50, 40 some days.
The last,
right?
I saw was 39 days, and you have
but
to
that's
remember.
But that's fake football. We're talking about the first full Saturday of the college football season, right?
So we're talking an extra week.
Yeah. None of this. Don't give me this week zero garbage like the Iowa High School Athletic Association does. That is the weakest.
But this year, Miami is playing Florida in week zero.
There is no week zero. There's no such thing as week zero. If you're playing games, it's week one. It's literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard that hasn't come out of my own mouth. That's come from somebody else. Week zero. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Kyle's with us in the studio. He's going to bring you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. They've got a brand new location in Iowa City, a permanent new location on 420th Street. We'll have more details about that. It's near the Sinclair Station. I'm very much looking forward. They have a grand opening on Saturday, this Saturday. A big thank you to Alexander Lumber. Three times a day on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, they bring you a big board update. Here's the first.
Iowa State took the podium at Big 12 Media Day today in Arlington, and Matt Campbell unsurprisingly made sure to downplay the degree to which the team is paying attention to media attention entering the year, and in sticking with no surprises, the team's first depth chart's pretty much what was expected. The team returns starters all along the offensive line, 8 starters on the defense, and really the biggest questions are who are going to replace David Montgomery and Akeem Butler. Both 4-star freshmen Jarrell Brock and Breece Hall are listed in the running back competition, and Campbell said today that JUCO transfer receiver Darren Wilson, who stands 6'3", has flashed possibly the most speed on the receiving corps. Quarterback Brock Purdy was named to the Davey O'Brien watch list, which goes to the nation's best quarterback. He's joined there by Iowa's Nate Stanley. College Football News handed out its preseason honors today, and 3 Hawkeyes were named to All-American teams. Alaric Jackson and A.J. Epinesa were made the first team, and Tristan Wirfs made the second team. Epinesa was also elected as the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, and Amir Smith-Marset was honored as the Big Ten's kick-returning specialist. The Cyclones had Jaquan Bailey, Ray Lima, Greg Eisworth, and kick-returner Kenny Nwangwu selected to the All-Big 12 team. The Cyclones added to their 2020 recruiting class yesterday evening. 3-star Illinois defensive tackle Willis Singleton pledged to Iowa State over offers from Cincinnati, Mizzou, and Michigan State. The Colonels are off tonight, but Kaiway Teng was named the Midwest League Pitcher of the Week today after he struck out 10 over 6 innings and walked none on Sunday. And after we get off the air, we'll have the Twins and Mets on 107.5 FM The North Gym.
Colonels also lost outfielder Jacob Pearson to a promotion to Fort Myers. Albie Weiss will rejoin the Colonels. He was here for a couple games early in the season before going to the Appalachian League. Colonels beginning that week-long Eastern Division swing with the first of three games against the Lake County Captains tomorrow night in East Lake, Ohio, a suburb of Cleveland. The Lake County Captains, an affiliate of the Cleveland Indians. I mentioned that on Saturday, I'll be at Sadler Powertrain. They're having an event, the off-road and outdoor event. I'll be there from 11 to 3. You can stop by and win some cash, $250 prizes for the baddest Jeep and the baddest truck. There's going to be some training sessions, giveaways, lunch from County Line Barbecue, and admission is just $10. You can check out more about the off-road outdoor event at Sadler Powertrain in Cedar Rapids by checking out their Facebook page. They're here on the southwest side of town, not too far away from the KGYM studios. And looking forward to being there. I'm going to be broadcasting from 11 until 3 on Saturday. Hopefully not too tired from the return trip from Chicago. It's going to be a late night Friday and an early wake-up call on Saturday. But stop on out to Sadler Powertrain on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and make sure you stop by the KGYM booth and say hi. Right now, as promised, though, it's the countdown to kickoff, the penultimate edition, as we are now just 2 days away from Big Ten Football Media Days kicking off in Chicago at the Hilton on Michigan Avenue. Today, we take a look at the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, and with us, Keith Sargent, who covers Chris Ash's program. And Keith, there was a lot of, I don't want to say turmoil this offseason, but some coaches left, some coaches were told to leave. There are some new faces there in Piscataway for Chris Ash this season. What's the latest on the Scarlet Knights?
Yeah, I think most of the changes were probably for the better. The fact is the defense was struggling. I think they brought in a guy named Andy Boo, who has defensive coordinator experience, most recently at Maryland. The most important thing is he and Chris Ash are aligned. They've worked together back at Wisconsin. So I don't think you're going to see too many changes from a defensive philosophy standpoint, but I think there will be a little bit more alignment. More than anything, I think it was important to note that they kept their offensive coordinator, John McNulty, which for Rutgers is no small feat. The last decade, they've had 10 offensive coordinators in as many years. The fact that John McNulty is the first offensive coordinator in a decade to actually go into year two is almost unfathomable probably to a lot of your listeners. I think it's going to be a big step for Rutgers to continue, even though the offense wasn't great last year, just to be able to continue what they did last year, I think is a positive step.
I had mentioned this before. This team went 4-8 in 2017, and there were at least some signs of progress under Chris Ash. And then last year, the beginning of the season didn't go their way. There was that really embarrassing loss to Kansas. How dejecting was last season as a whole after a 4-8 year, like I said, where there was progress?
Yeah, it was a step back, no question, especially since Chris Ash, Chicago a year ago was talking, he said the B word, a bowl game. I think it was twofold. I think, one, they had some off-season turmoil. They had eight players embroiled in a credit card fraud case. And a couple of those players have returned, but they all missed the season. That impacted the depth in the defensive backfield and on special teams. And then I think working in the true freshman quarterback, no one really knew what to expect in Art Sikowski, a highly recruited kid. He played winning football in maybe two games, but the rest of the season he really struggled. 18 interceptions were the most in the country. I think you factor in a freshman quarterback and the depth issues, and 1-11 wasn't really too big of a surprise.
So Keith, what are the realistic expectations for Rutgers this season? What would the fans like to see from the team this fall?
Well, it's a great question because you go from 1-11 and like the normal jump would be, 2-3 win improvement that would get you to 4. Well, Chris Ash won 4 games 2 years ago. So I don't think 4 wins is good enough. I think when you go 1-11 and when you're in year 4, I think a bowl game, or at least close to it. Five wins, maybe, 6 wins, depends on how you get to 5 wins. If they get down to the Penn State game, season finale, and they lose a nail biter, maybe fans can stomach that. But you know, when you go 1-11, when you're in year four, you know, I think really the expectation is the bowl game.
What are the glimmers of hope on this offense that ranked 124th in the country last season?
Having a year two quarterback. If you were going to ask Chris Ash, if you could sign for one thing, it would be a big leap for Sikowski. Now Sikowski is going to have a quarterback competition this summer. They brought in a grad transfer from Texas Tech, McLean Carter. He's going to push him. I think Sikowski is probably in the lead, but if he can make the leap, as a lot of the coaches internally think that he can, that would be a big first step. And then, the running back position, believe it or not, is going to be one of the better ones in the Big Ten. Raheem Blackshear, one of the more versatile guys. You can do a lot with him. Isaiah Pacheco, sophomore. Michigan fans will remember that he reeled off an 80-yard touchdown against them last season. I think he's ready for a big leap, and then they have a couple of freshmen coming on too. So I think they should be pretty good in the running game. And if Sikowski or whoever is a quarterback can make a big leap, then I think they might make a pretty big improvement offensively.
What about the offensive line? I know they've got a new offensive line coach there. A.J. Blazek moved on to North Dakota State in the offseason. Any protection for the quarterback this year?
Yeah, that's a great question. They lost probably their best offensive lineman to the transfer portal. Jonah Jackson ended up going to Ohio State. They do have a couple of guys back. They're working in a young left tackle who they expect big things from him, but until he plays a Big Ten game, no one really knows what to expect. They do have a new offensive line coach. Chris Ash believes that's going to make a big difference. Time will tell. It's a great question. It's probably one of the bigger storylines going into training camp.
You mentioned Raheem Blackshear, their leading rusher, their leading receiver a year ago. How would you describe him as a player, his skill set?
Yeah, he's a guy that they could do a lot with him. He's not the prototypical, running in between the tackles. They do want to get him into space. He was the first Rutgers player since 1986 to lead the team in rushing and receiving a year ago. The numbers weren't gaudy, but they were solid. He's the type of guy that if you get him into space, however you do it, passes out of the backfield, passes in the slot, that he could be very effective. He could be one of the he's a big playmaker, which Rutgers really doesn't have a whole lot of.
Keith Sargent with us on the countdown to kickoff as we take a look at the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. You talk about needing to sort of flirt with a bowl game here as far as the fan base is looking at expectations for the program this year. That means the schedule is pretty important in that discussion. Are there one or two games that you can sort of circle that would make that a possibility, or at least get Chris Ash a little bit closer to that?
I think you kind of had to break up the schedule on the fours. September, they open with UMass. I think that's a winnable game. Certainly they can't lose that game. And then they travel to Iowa, which a year ago their week two game was to Ohio State. And with all due respect to Iowa, they're not Ohio State. So it's going to be a challenge. They're probably going to be a double-digit underdog in that game, but certainly it's not as unwinnable as a year ago. And then week three, I think, is probably the biggest game, maybe in the Chris Ash era. Boston College, week three, no love lost between the coaching staffs. Boston College does a great job recruiting the state. I think that could be the make or break game. But if they could come out of September 2-2, and then October gets a little bit easier. Maryland, Indiana, Minnesota, Liberty. If they were able to come out of September 2-2, and then, if they were ever able to get out of October 3-1, then you're talking about 5-3 going into November. November is a big challenge. You have Ohio State, Michigan State, and you have Penn State. So they're probably going to need to win no fewer than four games going into November. Five would be, what they, any Rutgers fan could dream of. If they could get to five going to November, then maybe they can go to a bowl game.
What does Chris Ash hope that new defensive coordinator Andy Boo brings from Maryland?
Probably a little bit more pressure. They've been one of the worst teams in the country, really, certainly in the Big Ten, getting pressure after the quarterback. I think that would be one thing that he would hope for. I think it's possible. The defensive line has some talent. The linebackers is probably certainly the best that Chris Ash has had in his 4 years. And then defensive backfield, I think they have a couple pretty good defensive backs that can maybe allow them to get some more pressure. I think that would probably be the one thing that we'll see from Andy Boo. He's talked about it in the spring. It's a big emphasis, and then carrying over to training camp if they were able to get after with guys like Lamore and Prevalon up front. I think they signed for that.
Keith, how has recruiting been under Chris Ash? Are you seeing positive movement on that front?
Well, it's funny because I've done some stories on that recently. I think they're not getting the upper echelon guys in the state, but they are getting a lot of guys in the state. New Jersey is one of the better states in the country recruiting wise, believe it or not. It's probably in the top 10, maybe in the back end of the top 10 nationally as far as producing recruits. So if they were able to get a few more of the upper echelon kids, that would be ideal. But to answer your question, they've been near the bottom of the Big Ten. This year's recruiting class, like I said before, I think they brought in a couple good running backs. They hit on a couple guys on the grad transfer market that they might be able to expect to start right away. So from a recruiting standpoint, it leaves a lot to be desired. But time will tell. This will be the first real Chris Ash team, all of his recruits. So I think the proof will be in the pudding.
Does it sometimes feel like this program is trying to climb Mount Everest in the Big Ten East, trying to build this thing up from the ground up in a state where there are some football recruits and they're losing a lot of them to even in-conference schools?
Yes. yes. When you have Ohio State, when you have Michigan, when you have Penn State, and then you throw in Michigan State, which has been very good over the last decade, on the schedule every year, yes. The Big Ten East is maybe the toughest division in college football. All those programs, they outspend them. They have better facilities. They have more tradition. You name it. They have probably a 50-year head start on Rutgers from a tradition standpoint. It is a huge mountain to climb, certainly higher than Rutgers had to climb back when they got really good in the mid-2000s. That being said, Rutgers within a couple of years will be on par from a financial standpoint, as far as getting the same money that every other program is. They're improving their facilities. And I think, the hope, if you were going to talk to the AD, Pat Hobbs, or to even Chris Ash, would be that some of those resources will pay off better players. And down the line, maybe they can, move past a baby step would be moving past Maryland, moving past Indiana. Those are the two teams that, that ideally, if Rutgers could move past those two teams, then you're talking about going to a bowl game every year.
Keith, among the three players that will accompany Chris Ash to Chicago later this week, is there one of those three guys in particular that we should chat with? Are there interesting stories there? Can you give us some insight on these guys?
Yeah, I'll give you two. Zach Vineski is a guy who, he's a left guard, really one of those guys who developed. Took him a while, wasn't a big-time recruit, but he paid his dues, grinded it out, got a whole lot better, started I believe, the last four games a year ago. He was a Golden Gloves champion. We've documented that before, a few months ago. He's a very chatty guy. He's a charismatic guy. I think he's going to be one of the leaders for sure. And then Tyshawn Fogg. Both linebackers that they're bringing are pretty interesting. Tyreek Maddox-Williams is about a year and a half removed from a pretty serious knee injury, bounced back, played pretty well a year ago. And then Tyshawn Fogg was a big-time recruit who has yet to start, but, basically because he was blocked by a guy, a three-year starter, in Deontay Roberts. So Tyshawn Fogg, I think they're expecting big things. He had a really good spring camp, so I think – again, linebackers will be a strength of this team, and it'll be evident by two of the guys that they're bringing to Chicago.
At K Sargent NJ on Twitter, Keith, we appreciate the insight. Thanks a lot, and safe travels to Media Day.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you out there.
4:47. As we can now check Rutgers off the list.
Whew.
Ohio State and Michigan State coming up tomorrow on the program as Kyle sits in with Alex. I'll be taking the day off, taking care of some personal business before heading to Chicago for Thursday and Friday's broadcasts. I feel we gave Rutgers the respect that it deserved. We didn't necessarily pull down our pants and take a crap on that segment the way that some other radio programs probably could with Rutgers, but there just isn't a whole lot to get into there when you're starting. And by the way, Art Sitkowski.
Arter. Yeah, Art is what he goes, but his full name is Arter. There's no H.
Art Sitkowski sounds like the name of somebody who would be in the room next to your grandfather at the retirement home, not the name of a starting quarterback in the Big Ten. Oh, yeah, no. I had coffee with Art Sitkowski this morning. We watched Matt Locke, and we did the Sudoku puzzles in the paper. It was a great day. Thanks for coming by and visiting. Four touchdowns, 18 interceptions. And the fan base thinks that they should be close to going to a bowl game this year because Chris Ash had the audacity to win four games a couple years ago. You want to talk about trying to push the boulder up the hill here. And I know Keith mentioned that in a couple years, Rutgers is going to be on the same footing financially as the rest of the teams in the Big Ten. For those of you who may have forgotten or have tried to forget the enticement to get Rutgers to join the Big Ten so that Jim Delaney could get that big piece of media pie that is the New York, New Jersey television market, they came in for pennies on the dollar. And they're getting pennies on the dollar for a couple more seasons before they graduate to a full 100% share of the payments, which, what was it last year, like $50 million or something like that, a school like Iowa or Nebraska gets. So there's a gulf right now between what Rutgers gets from the Big Ten and what some of the more traditional members do. And so, that's going to close sooner rather than later. But in the meantime, Rutgers is just trying to stay afloat.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Like, New Jersey is a pretty darn good high school football state. Here's the problem right now. They have no money, they have no facilities, and all of the recruits in their state are not only leaving, but a lot of them are going to other Big Ten schools and primarily Big Ten East schools. We've seen some in the Big Ten West, we've seen some at Iowa. What is every coach of a state school who takes over, what do they always say? We want to secure
close
the border.
Close the border.
Close the border. Well, they can't even come close to getting not just top-of-the-line recruits out of the state of New Jersey. We're talking mid-level, three-star, two-star recruits from their own state.
I do not envy Chris Ash. We had him on with us 4 years ago, his first year on the job. He's an Iowa native. He's got tremendous ties to the state. He was about as boring and uninspiring of an interview as I can think that we've ever had on this program as far as a head coach goes. He showed very little personality, and despite the fact that I said I was pulling for him because as a native Iowan, I feel like you need to root for our own here, the odds were really long that he was going to be able to get that program back to 2000. Was it 2008? When did Greg Schiano have Rutgers clicking on all cylinders? And by clicking on all cylinders, I mean winning seven or eight games.
I want to see that.
It's been over a decade.
I want to say the year where they had Ray Rice, and that was 2006 where they had their breakout year. But yes, during that period, they were consistently 7 to 8 wins.
And at that point, obviously, they were not members of the Big Ten.
No, they were in the Big East, which was by far the worst Power Five conference. Here, you want
but still a Power Five conference.
If let me give you the 2020 New Jersey recruits. I'm not going to take too much of your time here.
Are any of them named Art?
No, they're not. The number one ranked player is going to Ohio State. The number two is going to Purdue. Number three, Ohio State. Number four, Texas A&M. Number five, Michigan. Number six, Notre Dame. Number seven, Michigan. none of these. You have to go down to number 27 before you get a Rutgers commit in the state of New Jersey. Number 27.
Better Art. Art Sitkowski or Art Carney? 319-366-1600. You can weigh in on that on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. And if you know who Art Carney is, you're probably a lot closer to sharing a wall with Art Sitkowski at the nursing home than you probably want to admit. I also know who Art Carney is. 4:52, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get into the fallout of the Mike Montgomery, Martin Maldonado deal that was consummated last night between the Cubs and the Royals. Lots more to get to, and then coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, Alex Halstead stops by to chat with us from Big 12 Football Media Days in Arlington. Lots to get to. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn back after this.
Blender Tire Service, where we put service first.
Drive safe this summer with Linder Tire, a great selection of tires from Hankook, Hercules, Nokian, and Yokohama. And to keep rolling safely, stop in for a maintenance check on your car or truck. Linder Tire Service, Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Coupons and more specials at LinderTire.com.
Come to Linder Tire Service for quality tires and service.
More than just tires.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Dave, did you forward me this email from Svetlana?
Yes.
You want me to interview her for a job?
Well, it says she's looking to get down to business.
It also says she likes gentle bear cub man who knows what he likes.
I'm gentle.
Dave, this is a Ukrainian dating site.
Corporate said we should hire more diverse candidates.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop. I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people. Every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Guys know more is better. So this month, Sport Clips Haircuts is thanking our clients with a Sport Clips Instant Replay. It's double the MVP experience for the price of a single. So after your fresh cut, we double your relaxing massaging shampoo and our legendary hot steam towel. You can even turn your hot towel into a refreshing chilled towel to get the MVP on ice. Instant Replay. It's the MVP on repeat. Download the Sport Clips app and check in online today.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
After an off day, the Twins begin a lengthy homestand on Tuesday night. First up, interleague play, a two-game series with the New York Mets. This is Corey Provis right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
4:57, we welcome you back in, and nobody wants to talk about Art Carney on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, but we received 9 texts in 2 minutes, all referencing Art Vandelay from Seinfeld. So my apologies to the late, great Art Carney, who played Ed Norton on The Honeymooners, but you've been overtaken by a different art in popular culture. Art Sitkowski, the incumbent quarterback for your Scarlet Knights of the State University of New Jersey. 4 interceptions, 4 touchdowns, 18 interceptions as a freshman. Now, those are called growing pains. I'm sure he'll be much better this year.
It can't be any worse.
And I'm certainly not going to make fun of Rutgers to the face of one of the 3 players who I believe Keith said was a Golden Gloves champion, amateur boxer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably a smart decision.
We need to see how many offensive linemen can sit down for a chalk talk with Alex. Would you guys, one of the days, either Thursday or Friday, we just dedicate the entire 3 hours to Alex sitting down with various obscure offensive linemen talking technique? I think the listeners would love it. We will have Kirk Ferentz with us on Friday from Big Ten Football Media Days in Chicago, working on nailing a time down for that. But join us Thursday and Friday as we take the show on the road, 4 to 7. Scott and Mark are still going to be on the air. The gym class every day brought to you by Third Base Brewery. Where at Third Base, you're practically home. And Scott and Mark will return to the airwaves tomorrow. A Wednesday edition of the gym class getting underway at 3 o'clock. 5 o'clock hour is on the way. Hour number 2 of 3 here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We're going to talk with author Paul Banks. And first, we're going to kick it off by heading to Arlington, Texas for a check-in at Big 12 Football Media Days with Alex Halstead at 24/7 Sports. Cyclone Talk is next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Oh, Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Tiger Woods admitted after today's practice session, the state of his game is not as sharp as he'd like to have it heading into this week's British Open. Woods also acknowledged he's struggling to regain the form that led him to that incredible victory at the Masters.
I still need to get shaping the golf ball a little bit better than I am right now, especially with the weather coming in and the winds are going to be changing. Kind of have to be able to cut the ball, draw the ball, hit at different heights, and move it all around. And today was a good rain session. I need another one tomorrow, and hopefully that'll be enough to be ready.
Tiger Woods, he's played just 10 competitive rounds of golf since April's win at Augusta National. The Big 12 says the horns down sign is okay, depending on the usage. According to the coordinator of football officials, if a player quickly flashes the horns down after scoring a touchdown, he likely won't be called for a penalty, but prolonged displays of horns down will be penalized, especially if directed at an opposing player or team. Horns down has been used for decades to mock the Texas Longhorns' hook 'em horn sign.
Coming up Wednesday, we're close. Only 50 days until the 2019 NFL season kicks off, and Fitz and I continue our adventures at football summer camp. Plus, how much longer will Jadeveon Clowney be a Texan? Golic and Wingo, Wednesday, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, celebrating 15 years of service.
Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services. For a while now, you've heard me proclaim my obsession with our beloved Hawkeyes. But my Hawkeye obsession pales in comparison to our obsession with providing you efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling commercial property or buying your first home. Sure, we love our Hawkeyes, but helping you is our passion. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City and HawkeyeTitle.com. The team you love, the people you trust.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
If your vehicle isn't stopping like it used to, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts for a set of Brake Best Select brake pads and two Brake Best Select rotors, and you'll receive a $25 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Enjoy quiet, safe, worry-free braking. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We apologize for this Walmart grocery pickup commercial. Because while you can't see the groceries I'll describe, my words may make your stomach growl loud. Get the baby carrots you crunch and the sweet ripe berries that make your mouth water. And now you can order online and get free curbside pickup, freshness guaranteed. So pick up these delicious things without even leaving your car. Sorry, that was my stomach. Walmart grocery pickup, $30 minimum. Restrictions apply. If you're not happy with your order, contact customer care for a refund.
After an off day, the Twins begin a lengthy homestand on Tuesday night. First up, interleague play, a two-game series with the New York Mets. Hi, this is Corey Provis right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back in the 5 o'clock hour of a Tuesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM 1600 AM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids. Paul Banks joining us coming up in about 20, 25 minutes. We'll chat with him about his new book, friend of the program. He's been with us before. We'll also preview Big Ten Football Media Days on Thursday and Friday with Paul. The Big 12 Media Days gathering wrapping up today in Arlington, Texas. Day two of that event saw us hear from a number of coaches, including Iowa State's Matt Campbell, and joining us now on the program to discuss what we learned about the Cyclones or didn't learn about Iowa State is Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports Cyclone Alert joining us. Alex, I looked at the depth chart that Iowa State put out earlier today. I'm surprised to see that you and I aren't listed at running back, but five names as possible replacements for David Montgomery. Pretty safe to say the message there is that the job is up for grabs.
Yeah, that was my first reaction was seeing the depth chart. And before it came out, knowing you're getting a depth chart here at Big 12 Media Days, you kind of anticipated maybe a few either ors, but they went beyond that, just listed every scholarship running back either or. And Matt Campbell said as much when we talked to him here at Big 12 Media Days. He said it's a five-man race. They want to figure out which guy can do the most. I asked Campbell, are you open to being a committee? And he said he'd prefer to find somebody who can, do various things and kind of take over and be the guy. But he also admitted that it might take into the season. It might get a few weeks into the season before you really know who that running back is. But you got some veterans in that either-or list with Sheldon Crony and Kane Nwangu, who have Big 12 reps. Johnny Lang's younger, hasn't really had much experience, but he's healthy. And I think the two names that are going to create the most buzz among the fan base and probably get the most storylines going into fall camp are the true freshman four-stars, Breece Hall and Jirel Block. So they're going to get a shot. They're the only two true freshmen on the depth chart, but it makes a lot of sense for them to be on there at that running back position, given how wide open you mentioned it is.
It's interesting because you mentioned the two true freshmen, and yes, I think a lot of people think, okay, true freshman running back, you scoff at the idea, but then you remember what David Montgomery did in his true freshman season. It just sort of seems at this point, like you said, does it not, that those two guys will have a chance to be the feature running back at some point this season if they earn the job?
Yeah, I think they're going to get every shot, and before now, it kind of reminded me of that David Montgomery year where maybe to start the season you would see a Sheldon Crony or Kane Nwangu, a guy that's experienced, like we saw back in that 2016 season with Mike Warren getting first stab before Montgomery took over about midway through the season. And I've kind of wondered if that would be kind of the same thing this year, just one of those veterans, be the guy early, but then you see a true freshman like Jirel Brock or Breece Hall emerge once they get a few games into the season. I could see that happening, but they're going to give them every shot. And I think the biggest thing with them, and Campbell brought this up today, is physically they're very physically mature. Body-wise, they look the part, pretty similarly to some of those other guys in the room, but they can go out there and play. The question is, can they pick up on different things? Obviously, if you want them to be your main back, they've got to be able to block, at the college football level. They've got to be able to do different things. So that's going to be their big thing. And Breece Hall is probably a little bit ahead because he was here for spring ball, so he's been in the program and learning the offense longer than Brock. But they brought Brock in a little early as well in the summer, and so he's been here. So they're going to get equal shot to compete with those other guys.
Matt Campbell, say anything else specifically about the running backs today?
Not really. I mean, he doesn't seem overly concerned with the fact that, you know, you're losing what you lose. I think part of that is they really like the talent, but I think also the running back position is not just going to be taking a step forward for the, you know, running back emerging. It's going to be in combination with that offensive line. And it's funny, we got him off to the side before he went up to the podium, talked to him for 20 minutes, and he didn't get asked about the offensive line. And I think that's just a lot different than it was in years past. Now, we did ask him about it later. But they return all five starters from the Alamo Bowl on the offensive line. That was the starting five on that first depth chart. So it's an experienced bunch, and at the very least, I think that group could help that running back position, even if they're throwing out an inexperienced guy that maybe isn't quite David Montgomery yet.
I think back a few years to Big 12 media days where Matt Campbell and some of the players, some of the media had trouble remembering their names, and now all of a sudden they're picked to finish third, and it seems like Matt Campbell has the full respect of all the media and all of his peers within the conference. Is it ever surreal to you to think about how far things have come? Because you've covered all these media days and how much the coverage around this program has changed over the past few seasons.
Yeah, media days for me has changed in a couple different ways. One of them is, you know, the first year I covered Big 12 media days, you know, 6-7 years ago, whatever it was, they, you know, it was at a hotel convention room and, you know, kind of a, not a huge, you know, venue or anything. And then now I'm standing to you guys talking to you in the end zone of AT&T Stadium, and it's changed in that respect where it's just become a big deal. But like you mentioned, Iowa State has seen its trajectory change in the last couple of years. I remember you know, one of Paul Roach's last teams being at Big 12 Media Days, and they had both Sam Richardson's, the cornerback and the quarterback. I think Quentin Bundridge was there. And there are some questions early, but by the end of the thing, you could have went up and done one-on-one sessions with them, you know, if you wanted to. And I actually did because I was covering Iowa State, obviously. But here, you know, now you don't have a Brock Purdy here, or it would have been even crazier, but now these tables are a little bit more crowded, and, you know, you have national people coming up, and especially to Matt Campbell. You know, his table doesn't look quite like Lincoln Riley or Tom Herman, but it's quite a bit more crowded. I think that just shows the interest level of Iowa State football, but also, you know, the expectations. You know, they're picked third in this preseason poll here, and a lot of people are interested in that story just from where they were even back in 2016.
Alex Halstead with us from Cyclone Alert on the 24/7 Sports Network from Arlington, Texas, as Big 12 Media Days come to a conclusion today. What other positions on that initial depth chart sort of drew your attention this morning, Alex?
Yeah, so, you know, that's one thing about the depth chart, and probably a positive direction for Iowa State. There weren't a ton of surprises, and I think once you start having fewer surprises, it means your program's either returning a lot or it's starting to answer questions and they don't have as many holes. But there are some other things beyond the running back position that we talked about. I think receiver is still a big question. That was kind of highlighted on the depth chart. You know they have Deshaunte Jones and Tariq Milton. Those guys are for sure 1-2. But that third receiver position, the Z position, they have it listed as a three-way battle between Arkansas graduate transfer Michael Petway, returning redshirt junior Jalen Martin, who hasn't played much, and redshirt freshman Sean Shaw Jr., who, you know, Matt Campbell said was maybe the MVP of the spring in terms of that receiver position. So those guys are going to battle. But even beyond that, I don't think it's necessarily a battle for who plays the Z as much as it is a battle for, you know, they're going to probably have five or six guys who catch 20-plus passes just when you look at recent Matt Campbell seasons. Tariq Milton, Deshaunte Jones will be two, but that means there's three, four receivers that can have significant catches or at least targets this season. And so Joseph Skates is in that mix as another backup. Darren Wilson, a JUCO that they brought in late, Matt Campbell said, may be the fastest receiver on the team after just arriving. So they have a lot of talent, but it's like, who's going to step up? And I think that's the other big offensive question. But then when you flip defensively, I think the big thing that stands out is that front seven, really front six, because they're a 3-3, but they list seven positions on their depth chart. Six of those seven positions is the exact same depth chart as we got at the Alamo Bowl. And, you know, that means that front seven is very experienced. And the one big question on defense is probably that third outside linebacker spot or that third linebacker spot, which is outside linebacker, the Sam position. Right now, it's no either or. Will McDonald, the redshirt freshman, is listed as a starter. And I think that's going to be really interesting to watch because he's a kid that last year was a defensive end at 6'4". And now it looks like he's the leader going into fall camp to start alongside Mike Rose and Marcel Spears. So I think that was probably the other significant thing that stood out to me when we got that depth chart.
Brock Purdy going into his sophomore season, I know that there are going to be some question marks about, like you mentioned, losing Hakeem Butler and David Montgomery, But how much of this offseason with some of the youngsters that have come gained another year, and some of the players that they brought in as graduate transfers and junior college transfers, is this about building around Brock Purdy and giving him as many weapons as possible?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things. Is you think back to this time last year, Brock Purdy had been on campus for 1 month and then gets thrown in, you know, a month almost into the season. And so they were kind of working week by week to try to develop that offense. Now they've got a full spring and a full off season to actually develop an offense around him. This is actually Brock Purdy's offense, whereas last year they were kind of going on the fly and it was never really totally, you know, built around him. So that's one thing that I think is going to be different is, you know, they can find a figure out play and game plan a little bit more to his strengths and weaknesses. But the other thing that you're right is, you know, I think there's got to be a repertoire that's built with different guys. You look at the tight end position, I think he's worked a lot with Charlie Kohler and Chase Allen. That's one area where that could maybe offset the loss of Akeem Butler a little bit, because they can flex those guys out and maybe those tight ends can make up for some of the lost targets and production, and it doesn't all have to come from the receiver position. So I think he's worked a lot with them. And then you look at, you know, he came in with Joe Skates and Sean Shaw, and he's worked a lot with Tariq Milton. So I think he's going to be a lot more comfortable with these guys. I know he spent a lot of time with Michael Petway since Petway got to Ames from Arkansas. So I think he's building more of a relationship and becoming more of a leader. I talked to Matt Leinart here yesterday, and they don't have quite the same situations. Matt Leinart didn't play the first 2 years at USC because he's behind Carson Palmer, but he said Purdy just reminds him of, not in a stylistically, but in just a it factor way of guys like Trace McSorley or Baker Mayfield that maybe don't impress you physically right when you see them, but there's just something about them that has allowed them to do what they did. And he thinks Purdy has the same thing where he can, even as a sophomore, become the leader of this team.
Brock Purdy on both the O'Brien and Maxwell Award watch lists yesterday. Mike Gundy said he didn't even know anything about Brock Purdy going into that Oklahoma State-Iowa State game last year. Can you think of a player that's come onto the scene quicker and to more fanfare than Brock Purdy?
No, I can't. Yeah, that was kind of one of the crazy revelations is, you know, they didn't really know anything about him. Like you said, he burst onto the scene, and part of that was because Iowa State had played him two plays against Akron, but it was a run and a handoff, if I remember right. And then they started Zeb Nolan against Oklahoma State, and then they just quickly made the switch, and partly by design. And I think that was kind of the question that sometimes you see at the college level or the NFL level is a quarterback maybe comes in reserve because of injury or whatever, and they light it up that first week, but then teams have time to game plan for them, and it kind of comes to a halt. Purdy really continued to have success. Now, there were some games towards the end that I think he struggled a couple times, but he still put up good numbers against Kansas State and Washington State in those final two games. But I think that's one of the big questions, too, is can he now carry that over to a sophomore season when coaches have been watching all these games and game planning all offseason? So that's going to be interesting. But I'm trying to rack my brain to think of someone else who's just jumped onto the scene like that. And in recent memory, there hasn't been one. Even a guy like David Montgomery, it took him half a season, and it was still like a 500, 600-yard season. It wasn't quite like Purdy did last year.
When you look at the number two quarterback on the depth chart, Rial Mitchell, that's been a name that's been talked about by the coaching staff seemingly for a couple of seasons now. How interesting is it going to be to watch his season unfold? Because he is the number two player on the depth chart, but you know that the playmaking ability is there, and that has to be at least temptation for the coaching staff to try to get him on the field.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect word is the temptation is. It's something I think the staff has to hold off a little bit on. In talking to Matt Campbell, he said, you know, first and foremost, I need Rial Mitchell to be a number two quarterback. You know, if Brock Purdy got hurt or his helmet comes off or whatever, if somebody has to come to the game, it has to be Rial Mitchell. And so they need him to be ready at quarterback and not just as this, you know, I don't want to call it a gimmick, but a guy that comes in just to, you know, be in motion or do different things in a speed package. Now, I think they're still tempted and would like to maybe try to get him in and utilize that athleticism and find ways. But it sounds like their focus has been on making sure he develops as a quarterback. And Campbell said that, you know, they think he's made progress at that, you know, looking just like a quarterback and a number two guy, but it needs to take one more step probably here in fall camp. But it sounds like they feel decently comfortable between Rial Mitchell and then they bring in John Kohler. They brought him back in the spring, graduate transfer from Oklahoma State. And at the very least, he's a guy that, you know, knows the Big 12, he knows how to prepare, and, you know, you could probably bring him in and help manage a game if you needed him. So They probably feel decent about the next two guys behind Brock Purdy. But I do think that's probably the biggest question for Iowa State this season, or the biggest key is Brock Purdy's health, because there's no guy that's even really probably close to what he is right now. And so his health is probably what really makes or breaks Iowa State's 2019 season.
Alex Halstead with us from Arlington, Texas, the site of Big 12 Football Media Days. You can give him a follow on Twitter and certainly on 24/7 Sports. You said you chatted with Matt Leinart. I'm sure you've talked with a number of other analysts. What's the overall consensus or the feeling on Iowa State heading into the season?
Yeah, Leinart, you know, was really high on Campbell and kind of called them maybe the dark horse type team. It's maybe beyond the dark horse portion because, you know, they were picked third in the conference, but I guess in the sense of maybe still there's some people who think that, you know, they could be the team that if something happens with Texas and, you know, whatever, that they could still be that team. But the big thing here is just kind of, can they live up to those expectations? I think that's the biggest question maybe from analysts. But most analysts are really high on their defense. Like I said, they return basically their entire front seven. They're one of the most experienced teams in the Big 12, and I think that's one of the reasons in talking to people here why they think Iowa State has a chance to be that, say, third-best team in a league that looks like it's kind of broken up into three tiers. You know, you got the four new head coaches, and their teams are all projected 7 through 10. You got a middle of the pack with TCU, Baylor, and Oklahoma State, which I think everyone's like, they each have probably one question. If they answer, they could contend at the top. And I think, you know, when you looked at the voting, it was Oklahoma, Texas, Iowa State. Iowa State maybe is in that middle tier with Texas and Oklahoma right at the top. But, you know, they're right in contention for that. So I think, you know, they don't have as many questions. Matt Campbell even said that and echoed it. He said this is probably the most they've known about a roster since he's come to Big 12 Media Days. But they still have some critical questions they have to answer before Northern Iowa comes around at the end of August.
With that second tier in the Big 12, how much uncertainty is there with some of those teams that you mentioned, West Virginia, TCU, Baylor, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State? If they don't have a new coach, they have a new quarterback. Some have both. There seems to be a lot of uncertainty with those teams going into this year.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to make the Big 12 so interesting, is if a couple of those things click for those teams, they could very easily beat these 8-9 win teams, you know, just with how much parity, I guess, there is in the middle. You look at TCU, I think if they answer quarterback, their defense would be pretty good. They have a lot of skill position players that are really good. Oklahoma State can have a really good offense. They have one of the best receivers in the country in Tylan Wallace, but they're still looking for a quarterback, and their defense has to be better than it was last season. Baylor should be pretty good. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the league in Charlie Brewer, but I think their offensive line and their defense, I think people still want to see that take a step. So if those three teams especially, I think, answer a question here or there, then they could be right up there with Iowa State, and that's what's going to make this schedule really interesting. You know, West Virginia and, you know, Texas Tech, Kansas State, they all have probably more questions, especially with new coaches. But Texas Tech, I think a lot of people forget, you know, that's a team that started 5-2 last year before losing its last five games. And they bring back Alan Bowman at quarterback and an offensive mind in Matt Wells. So I think they probably, out of the new head coaches, those four teams, probably have the best shot to probably make a bowl game and maybe push their way into the middle of the pack.
Which one of those four new head coaches interested you the most in hearing from them over the last 2 days?
I think Matt Wells was pretty interesting. I think he's going to bring some ideas to the conference just in terms of offense. You know, he talked about, you know, this was kind of a talking point here at Big 12 Media Days, how the tight end starting to work its way a little bit more into the Big 12. It's always kind of been a receivers running backs league where you don't see a ton of tight ends. And almost every year, the all Big 12 tight end is from Oklahoma. But other schools, Iowa State wants to start using them more. Matt Wells at Texas Tech brought up how he wants to, you know, use them and flex them out. Les Miles is going to try to bring them into Kansas, and obviously Kansas State's always used tight ends more so blocking. But so Wells was pretty interesting in that regard. I think, you know, Neil Brown was really honest, you know, with West Virginia. He said he really doesn't know what to expect from his team, that they lose a lot, that they have a lot of questions. They play, I think, 11 Power 5 games. You know, some people think it's going to be a tough first year for them, but I think he was pretty honest about, you know, not trying to pump anything up. The big talking point here was obviously Les Miles, his introductory press conference. It was kind of awkward. He started off by reading out of a notebook talking about the suspension of Puka Williams, and it just kind of was off the rails. So I think a lot of people are intrigued about what he's going to do at Kansas, because he's a big name. He's won a national title at LSU, but I think some people are weary if he can really turn that program around.
Alex, tremendous stuff as always. We appreciate you squeezing us in today. I know you're really busy at Big 12 Football Media Days, and have a safe trip home. Thanks a lot, and we'll touch base down the road.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Alex Halstead, you can give him a follow on Twitter, at Alex Halstead, covers the Cyclones for Cyclone Alert on the 24/7 Sports Network. And no surprise there with that depth chart today. These are meaningless, especially in the middle of July, but you list five guys as your starting running back, it basically tells the world what we already know. There's no replacing David Montgomery, at least not in the middle of July. They're going to wait and see how things shake out as camp opens up. But the one thing that they do know is they've got a quarterback to begin the season, and a pretty damn good one in Brock Purdy.
Poor Mike Gundy last year. Going into that Iowa State game, thinking that they were going to be facing a guy in Zeb Nolan who couldn't really run, and then this quarterback who nobody knows anything about comes into the game one series in. It's like, who the hell is this guy?
He's getting beaten up for those comments, but I read and heard what he said, and I know what he meant.
Yeah, he'd never seen him.
They'd never really seen him. And if you think coaches are preparing for every single player on a roster and giving the same amount of prep time to the backup quarterback that they are to the starting quarterback when it's not really expected, no, that's not how it works. Cool. So what he meant was they weren't really prepared for the type of player that Brock Purdy was. They didn't know much about him, and they got rather rudely introduced to him in 2018. Well, the bad news for Iowa State is that the Cyclones aren't sneaking up on anybody this year. They're picked to finish third in the league. Brock Purdy's all over the preseason watch lists. So this is going to be that next step for Matt Campbell and the Cyclones. It's one thing to go, as Alex said, to Big 12 Media Days and sit at a table by yourself and have very few people interested in talking to you. And it's another to be a team that's going to have the target on their back. And if you don't think Iowa State has a target on its back, they do. You're picked to finish third in the Big 12 behind only Oklahoma and Texas. That means the other seven teams, I told you, you guys have listened to the program before, you know I'm very bad at math, they're gunning for you. And we'll see what Iowa State can accomplish this year, but a Big 12 Football Media Day is wrapping up, SEC Media Days underway. And Thursday and Friday, Big 10 Football Media Days begin at the Hilton Chicago Michigan Avenue. Alex and I will be there doing the show from 4 until 7 both days. Make sure you tune in. We'll be chatting with Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz on Friday, as just like Iowa State, the Hawkeyes are relegated to Day 2. More of the show to come, but first, let's give away that $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, 319-366-1600. Somebody's going to be taking home $30 to Mulligan's. Caller number 6, give us a shout at 366-1600 right now. We'll be back at Mulligan's next Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Happy hour daily from 3 until 6, and on Thursdays, half-price wings from 6 until close. That's at Mulligan's, 1060 Old Marion Road. We'll find out who our winner is. Kyle's going to have a big board update for us, and then we'll chat with friend of the show, Paul Banks, who's got a brand new book out. That's all coming up in just a few minutes. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Americans love to celebrate this time of year with family, friends, food, and fireworks. But all too often, the festivities turn tragic on the nation's roads. The fact is, this time of year is one of the deadliest due to drunk driving crashes. This year, we hope you enjoy spending time celebrating with family and friends. Just remember, buzzed driving is drunk driving. If you're going to drink, plan another way home before the celebration begins and encourage your friends and family to do the same. Be responsible and make a commitment to driving sober. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Alex Alexander Lumber has put on the finishing touches, and they're ready to celebrate the grand opening of their brand new lumber yard. Join them for the party this Saturday from 11 to 2. Bring the family for a complimentary cookout and your favorite summer games. See the brand new lumber yard and everything Alexander Lumber has to offer. Come to the grand opening of Alexander Lumber Saturday from 11 to 2 in their brand new location, 4340 420th Street, Iowa City, just two blocks east of the Sinclair Station Dinosaur.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Join me, the Jim's Todd Brommelkamp, broadcasting live from the Sadler Powertrain off-road and outdoor event Saturday from 11 to 3. Check out Sadler Powertrain's Facebook page for full event details.
After an off day, the Twins began a lengthy homestand on Tuesday night. First up, interleague play, a two-game series with the New York Mets. Hi, this is Corey Provis right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
5:28, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5 FM, our North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, and in Iowa City, 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Congratulations to Rusty in Marion, taking home our $30 gift card to Mulligan's. We'll be back there next Thursday. Right, another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. While not an official road trip, we are hitting the road Thursday and Friday. We'll be in Chicago for Big Ten Football Media Days on Michigan Avenue. The Hilton hosting Big Ten Football Media Days this year. I believe it's been about 4 or 5 years since Media Days have been at the Hilton. I'm trying to recall. I think the last time that I was there at the Hilton, don't ask me why I remember this, but it was right before Jake Peavy got traded from the White Sox to the Red Sox.
Why do you remember this?
Because I was at that game. I played hooky from day two of football media days, and I went to the White Sox ball game at, I believe at the time, who knows what they call that ballpark nowadays. It was still U.S. Cellular Field back then. 319-366-1600, the number to reach us on the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Kyle's going to get us a big board update on the other side of this segment. But as promised, happy to have our next guest on with us, calling me friend of the program. We've talked with Paul before on subjects relating to the Big Ten. Paul Banks with us. Paul, how would you like me to refer to you, as you have a number of monikers and titles that you go by on your Twitter profile?
I guess we could go with author, since with the new book, webmaster, website owner, journalist, man about town. I don't know.
Racketeer. How about that? Paul is with us.
There you go. Ne'er-do-well.
Ne'er-do-well. I think that probably fits here. The book is No, I Can't Get You Free Tickets, Lessons Learned from a Life in the Sports Media Industry. I read this about a month ago. And I said, oh, yeah, we'll get you on the program, no problem. And then it's been a really chaotic month with a lot of stuff to talk about in the sports world. And now we're getting ready for football media days coming up this week. But I flipped through it again last night, and I couldn't help but think that a lot of the information in here pertains to Big Ten football media days, because you've got some chapters in the book about pet peeves of yours as far as media members asking questions or sort of not asking questions, as the case may be.
Yeah, I would say if anybody watches Big Ten Media Days on BTN and their drinking game is talk about can you speak to? Can you talk about? I would not recommend doing that because you could find yourself in the danger zone pretty quickly. I kind of look at Big Ten Media Days as, you know, it's equal opportunity. There's sure the coaches and the players have their scripted responses, but, you know, most of the media don't exactly do much to help either because, you know, some of the non-questions that come out, it's very promotional in nature, and I'm not sure what news is really ever made. For me, my best moment was when I asked Bo Pelini about his cat, and the fact that that ended up like leading everybody's coverage of Big Ten Media Days that year was the cat. I think that tells you all you really need to know about the event.
When you talk about pet peeves, where does somebody asking you for tickets rank? Because I learned early on when I got into this business, that question comes hot and heavy from a lot of different people you didn't expect.
Yeah, it's amazing how that somehow equates in their mind. I'm not sure why they believe you're there for free. You're sitting there, but you're working, so you're not really there for free. And maybe I'm related to you. Maybe I just pass you in the elevator. Maybe whatever my relationship is, all of a sudden you will get me in for free. I've never understood the X equals Y or X equals Z or whatever that is on that one. But it's happened so much that I had to make it my title.
Paul Banks with us, the author of the book, No, I Can't Get You Free Tickets. You can also check him out online at thesportsbank.net. Paul, talk about this book. Take us through writing this book. Am I doing this right?
Well, you know, I just got it. You know, I'm just one man when I wrote this, and it all goes up to my publisher and my sources. And, you know, I got to give up. Got to give it up to them. Yeah. You know, I wanted to do a book that could provide access to the fans who aren't in the media and kind of see what life is like behind the scenes and see that a lot of it is not as glamorous as they might think it is. Holding a microphone and, well, I mean, I heard what you said about Chris Ash, and I definitely can vouch for that. I can verify that interviewing Chris Ash is not a glamorous life. But also, it's a book about the sports. It's not really a sports book. It's a sports industry book. And I feel that there's something here for everybody who works in the sports media that could say, oh, hey, yeah, I've been there. I know what that's like. I can relate to this. Or they may read something and be like, oh, I'm going to watch out for that. I'm going to make sure I don't end up in a situation like this.
Now, I know you lead the book off with this, but where does the Jay Cutler don't care bathroom story rank among your favorite sports stories of all time?
Well, yeah, I usually have that come up maybe two or three times a month, every month for the last 5 years, because it's something that has just, it's timeless. It's, you know, don't care. It's almost, it's got a beat. You could dance to it. It's a catchphrase, but just, I could never think of another story that really encapsulated a personality and how he acted on the field and how his demeanor. And it's just a perfect story. Cause I mean, that's who he is. He's just, if somebody says, hey, Jay, don't care. And now he's a reality TV star. So it works perfect there. Doesn't work so well as the leader of an NFL franchise, but on reality TV, he's perfect for it.
Paul, how'd you get into this? What made you decide that you wanted to be a sports writer?
There was an open house towards the end of my junior year at the University of Illinois, and the editor-in-chief of the Daily Illini went to my high school, junior high, and grade school, and I told her I'd come by. And I actually went to grad school in business and kind of took it. I kind of fell into it circuitously. Then eventually I earned a fellowship in media studies and got to go abroad. And then I kind of started to get into it. So it was later in life, like my mid 20s.
With this book, how unique is it that it can take you into the life of a sports journalist where people are then seeing what sports journalists see every single day?
Well, I kind of wanted to do something that really hasn't been done in about a generation. And I go back to a book that has a similar title, No Cheering in the Press Box, which, you know, is another catchphrase that the life of a sports media person can relate to. And that was more about like some of the golden age sports writers recapping their lives, some of the highs and lows. And what I wanted to do was provide something where you could pick up the book anywhere in the middle and just read the little chapters there, or you could just read it all the way straight through. And I wanted to make sure I covered, obviously there's a lot of Big Ten, obviously there's a ton of Chicago, as that's where I've lived and worked my whole life. But there's some international, there's some travel stories, and there's a way for just to really have something for everyone.
It's interesting you mentioned No Cheering in the Press Box. I don't know whether you'll agree with me on this or not, but I find that to be the opposite case nowadays. It's hard to separate guys who are impartial writers from some of the fans who cover the team for various websites. Is that something that you've noticed over the course of the last couple decades or so, that we're trending in the direction of more fans having a presence in the press box?
Oh, I agree with you completely. Oh, it's crazy. In fact, that's why I have a chapter in the book, Beware the Dangers of the Recruiting Industrial Complex, because just the rise of these sites that are just one team and one team only, and in the off season when they get into recruiting and every single campus visit gets amplified, I would say that, like, you know, if your publication has the same colors as the team that you cover, and you're there wearing a golf shirt, a polo that's the same colors on press row, I mean, it definitely has become that. And I think that has created an atmosphere in which what used to be considered fair, nonpartisan, now seems like it's a hit piece. Now it seems like it's negative, you know, yellow journalism. And that's not the case. It's just because all these homers that you're talking about, they've kind of shifted the paradigm, so to speak.
What's your favorite venue in the Big Ten? It can be football, basketball. I know you've been all over the place. Your favorite place to go cover a game?
Well, Nebraska was pretty awesome when I was there. Iowa was fun, too. I really enjoyed that. I would probably say Ohio State maybe has the best architecture, but for me, probably Michigan State, being on the going through the river, and Spartan Stadium. It's the views are there. It's situated perfectly well. It's a nice walk from where you park when it's in autumn. It definitely has a great atmosphere.
Paul, can Lovie Smith get Illinois back to a bowl game?
If they can find a quarterback. You know, once again, If I was him, I'd probably just put the ball in the 4-star rated freshman's hands from day one and see what you can do with it. I just don't. I mean, there's some bad. They've had a lot of bad luck with certain things, but then at the same time, you make your own luck. And, you know, Lovie Smith's always been Lovie Smith, and his demeanor is the way it is. But the way he presents himself doesn't really help, especially now in a situation like this. He doesn't look like he's. I mean, that homecoming loss, I mean, 63, when the worst loss in school history. And, you know, that was your momentum at the end of last year. The schedule's favorable. I could see them easily getting off to a fast start, but I don't know. I see like a 4-8 maybe kind of year, maybe 3-9.
That 63-0 game made even worse by the fact that Iowa was not playing its best football going into that contest. And then that was sort of a get-well game for the Hawkeyes. Paul, with media days on the horizon in Chicago, I saw one of the national pundits earlier today said that these media days so far, SEC and Big 12, they've seemed stale, that perhaps this setting or this genre is dying or it needs a makeover. How would you make media days more relevant in 2019? What can we do to change these to make them less of a slog?
Oh, man, you just teed that one up for me. That is beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much. First of all, I would get rid of this unwritten rule in the Big Ten that it's illegal to bring your quarterback. Shout out to the local team. think, you know, Nate Stanley's coming. But you got two out of 14 Big Ten teams are bringing their quarterback. 5 out of 14 are bringing their tailback. Rondale Moore at Purdue, wide receiver, that's an exciting guy. I would say the way to really kind of rework this and to amplify it is you need to stop letting coaches decide who they bring, because Harbaugh has his thing where he has to bring an offensive lineman every year. Usually he likes to bring a defensive lineman as well. James Franklin has his good points. Selecting players for this is not one of them. I would say you'd have to, like, get coaches out of there, let marketing people do it. And, you know, D'Antonio has been pretty good about that. Michigan State usually brings their best people. Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern usually brings the best players. So you could start with that. And then secondly, you definitely have to change the format in a way that, because if everybody sees the same thing on television and the coach is talking to everybody in the room, that means everybody's going to write the same thing. And if we're all writing the same thing, then in essence, we're all writing nothing. So there has to be some kind of change in format to kind of spice it up. And I'm not sure you're really going to get that with the one-on-ones, so to speak, the call them the one-on-ones, the podium sessions, because then you just get like a mass of people around the same guys. And then you've got Chris Ash where there's, you know, two whole people in front of him. So clearly it's broken. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring up the players, because there's somewhat of a I'm not going to call it a controversy, but there was some hand-wringing with Kirk Ferentz not bringing his outstanding defensive end, A.J. Epenesa, who could be a top 10 pick next year. You mentioned James Franklin. They have a great defensive end who could be a top 10 pick. He's not coming. Ohio State didn't bring their best player. Have you ever understood the justification around not bringing your best players or promoting your best players if you're a college football program?
I could never understand why Christian Hackenberg was left at home. There were a couple more quarterbacks in recent years that were left behind. One coach, it must have been John L. Smith, because it was the year Michigan State brought their punter, and he's like, hey, we've got one from offense, one from defense, and one from special teams. I'm like, yeah, great there, guy. Seniors, they always seem to think that it's a treat, so the seniors come, but it's time to get into the future and into the present and realize that the game, if somebody's a sophomore, you bring him. You don't, if he's the best player. That's what I think their rationale is. I think they believe that if a guy has put in a service, he deserves to come over the guy who's more talented, who's younger. That's all I can think of.
Paul, who you got winning the Big Ten West this year? I've seen everybody predicting all over the place. Some people think Iowa has a shot. I've seen Wisconsin coming up. Purdue is a sexy pick. And a lot of folks are buying into Scott Frost and the Nebraska hype.
I would go Wisconsin 1, Iowa 2, Nebraska 3, Northwestern 4 in the West this year. And I think this is the year the West finally wins the Big Ten title game.
Wow, that's a strong take. Why is that? You just think it's a down year for the East?
I just think that Ohio State is going to have the best talent and they'll have the best team, but I think with the transition they're going through, I think Michigan is overrated. I think they lost a lot of guys on defense who were great, but that great defense kind of wilted down the stretch. I'm not buying the Michigan hype. Michigan State, all they did was reshuffle the deck on offense. They didn't really do anything to revamp that offense, which was just disgusting to watch. It was just brutal. So it's hard to pick them. Penn State has lost, you know, they're starting over at quarterback. I just feel that Wisconsin is going to be very Wisconsin-y, and I think the Big Ten is going to be very Big Ten-ish, and I think it's going to be like the 90s, mid-90s of a very tailback-centric conference, and that's what Wisconsin does. Is year in, year out, they've always got guys who can block, and they've got definitely the league's best chance for the Heisman, for sure, in Jonathan Taylor, so I'm going to go with them.
Between that description of a tailback-centric Big Ten in 2019 and the fact that they captured the loose alligator in Chicago, I am now even more bummed about having to be there for Big Ten Media Days on Thursday and Friday. Paul, the book was fantastic. We appreciate it. Stop by the table at the Hilton on Thursday or Friday and pick yourself up some beef jerky and say hi, and we'll touch base down the road. I'm sure we'll have you on again sometime.
Yeah, sounds great. Sounds great. Hey, if I can get you some FaceTime with Chance the Snapper, I'll see what I can do. But that would definitely spice up Big Ten Media Days.
Paul M. Banks from thesportsbank.net. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
No, I can't get you free tickets. Lessons learned from a life in the sports media industry. And we have a couple people on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line who have very, very loose affiliations. I will leave it at that. They would like to remain as vague as possible with the University of Iowa and the Iowa football program. Number one question, according to them on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, people constantly ask them for tickets also.
You know how I reply when somebody asks me for tickets? They don't even want to let me in. They're sure as hell not going to let you in.
It's true. I think if you gave sports information directors the ability to be a little bit more authoritarian, there would be fewer of us on press row. 319-366-1600. I have tweeted out the link to Paul's book if you're interested in checking that out. Paul's one of these guys who's been all over the place. Basically looks for an opportunity to get his stuff out there and has made a career out of it. And it was an interesting read. Enjoyed it and always enjoyed chatting with him on the program. And again, I think it was Ryan Field a couple years ago came up, introduced himself to me, followed me on Twitter and vice versa, and struck up a conversation, and everything has gone from there as far as our professional relationship and having him on the program and everything. So there you go, kids. If you're out there listening and you're looking for advice, one of the things, network, and try to put just a little bit of thought into how you approach questions. Don't just automatically go with. So talk about the book. I've always, and
take me through your mindset.
You know, guilty as charged. And I think everybody in this business to a certain degree has those types of days, or maybe you're listening and you're in the middle of an interview and all of a sudden a guest just stops short, not to make another Seinfeld reference, but you get caught off guard a little bit and you get tongue-tied and you go with the low-hanging fruit and you talk about. My favorite response, though, is occasionally you will see a very surly or testy athlete where when they're asked, can you talk about something, their response is, yeah. And then they just leave it at that and they wait for a question to actually be posed to them. That's my actual nightmare, that happening to me in a public setting, where I would be just completely de-pantsed by an athlete. But yeah,
this happened to me one time.
Yeah, I can talk about it. And then just a pregnant pause.
Do you remember? This has happened to me on this show. I thought I came up with a really decent question for George Kittle one time when he was in the middle of his first training camp with the 49ers. I was like, George, you are an under-the-radar recruit. You signed with Iowa the day they offered you on signing day 5 years ago. Did you ever think that you were going to be in the middle of a training camp as a fifth-round pick in the NFL and possibly have a chance to start in the NFL? He goes, yeah, I did.
Yeah, but at least that was a question.
That's true.
That was a question. A lot of times it's just, take us through that play. What if I don't feel like it?
I don't want
to. Nah. Don't feel like it. 319-366-1600. Keep the reactions coming on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We're not done with the guests yet today, by the way. We have the incomparable Ed Creech of MLB Trade Rumors set to join us to kick off the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Kyle will join us here in the KGYM studio. He's got a big board update that we need to bring you here within the 5 o'clock hour. Alexander Lumber, sponsoring big board updates 3 times a day on the Todd Brownell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, and we'll get you one of those on the other side of this break. 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, online at KGYMradio.com. We'll tell you what our poll question is when we return after this.
Hi, I'm a local dollar, and I just want you to know that if you buy local, that local businesses can grow. Put me in the pocket of your local grocery store, or take me to the farmer's market for flowers, soaps, and more. Spend me at the diner, or get ice cream at the pool. Put me down for coffee, or donate me to your school.
KGYM is a local radio station. We are local.
We support local.
Yay!
A local dollar goes a long, long way, but it's never far from home.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline not only helps keep your engine running like new, it can also help you win big. When you fill up as a Fuel Rewards member, you'll be automatically entered in the Shell Great Gas Giveaway after purchasing 8 gallons or more, where you can win one of thousands of prizes, including free fuel for a year. To join, download the Fuel Rewards app or go to fuelrewards.com/win. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, no purchase necessary. Promotion ends 9/119. See official rules at fuelrewards.com/win for how to enter by mail and all details.
This is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. If you're at your cubicle right now and are about to get off work and are looking for a great new happy hour, why don't you look no further than Buffalo Wild Wings? Get there for great deals, including their happy hour. It's called Happy Hour for a reason, with $2 domestic drafts, $3 premium shots, $5 loaded nachos, and more. So come on, get here and get happy at Buffalo Wild Wings.
An interesting creature inhabits the flat, arid plains of many an automobile dashboard. The bobblehead. It's most agreeable and will nod along to anything, despite having no brain function. But when the bobblehead hears how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, he'll nod even more vigorously because he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Easy, bobblehead, easy. You're going to get whiplash.
Stugatz here. We all have home projects we put off for too long. What's stopping you? For lots of people, they worry about overpaying and not getting a fair price. That's where Home Advisor can help. Their true cost guide shows you what others paid for similar projects. Then you can get matched with top-rated pros, read reviews, request quotes, and book appointments all for free. Home Advisor makes it easy to get those projects done so you can relax this summer. To find the right pro at a fair price, just ask Home Advisor. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
Valvoline is the only motor oil brand with a dedicated engine lab. And here, we test everything. We test seal conditioners to keep older engines from leaking. We test detergents to help reduce soot. We test additives that protect against wear, increase fuel economy, and fight carbon buildup. Why? Because we won't settle for being less than the best, and you shouldn't either. Valvoline, trusted for 150 years. Go to O'Reilly Auto Parts now and get 5 quarts of Valvoline full synthetic high mileage with MaxLife technology and a filter for just $34.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
To protect your engine, you have to change the oil. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic truck and SUV motor oil for just $28.95. When your engine works extra hard, give it the protection it needs. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
5:55, welcome back in a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on KGYM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Head on over to our website, KGYMradio.com. You can vote in today's poll question. We want to know, what's your go-to thing on a hot day? Air conditioning? Getting the pool, getting some ice cream, or it's not that bad out. Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question today at KGYMradio.com. It's hot and only getting hotter over the next couple days as we head to Chicago, a city which is oftentimes insufferably hot during the summertime with all of that concrete and pavement. So it should be a real fun time for the two of us as we're there Thursday and Friday. The third member of the crew is hanging back here to make sure that Scott and Mark behave themselves on the gym class. That would be our producer, Kyle Mann. He's got a big board update at the ready. Big board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you three times a day by Alexander Lumber. They've got a brand new location, a permanent location at 4340 420th Street in Iowa City. That's just two blocks east of the Sinclair Station. Here's Kyle.
Iowa State took the podium at Big 12 Media Day today in Arlington, and Matt Campbell unsurprisingly made sure to downplay the degree to which his team is paying attention to media noise entering the year, and in sticking with no surprises, the team's first depth chart is pretty much what was expected. The team returned starters all along the offensive line, eight starters on the defense, and really the biggest questions are who will replace David Montgomery and Akeem Butler. Both four-star freshmen, Jarrell Brock and Breece Hall, are listed in the running back competition, and Campbell said today that JUCO transfer receiver Darren Wilson, who stands 6'3", has flashed possibly the most speed in the receiving corps. Quarterback Brock Purdy was named to the Davey O'Brien watch list, which goes to the nation's best quarterback, and he's joined there by Iowa's Nate Stanley. College Football News handed out its preseason honors today, and three Hawkeyes were named to All-American teams. Alaric Jackson and A.J. Epinesa made the first team, and Tristan Wirfs made the second team. Epinesa was also selected as the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, and Amir Smith-Marset was honored as the Big Ten's kick-returning specialist. The Cyclones had Jaquan Bailey, Ray Lima, Greg Eisworth, and kick-returner Kenny Anwangwu selected to the All-Big 12 team. The Cyclones added to their 2020 recruiting class yesterday evening. Three-star Illinois defensive tackle Willis Singleton pledged to Iowa State over offers from Cincinnati, Mizzou, and Michigan State. The Colonels are off tonight, but Kaiway Tang was named the Midwest League Pitcher of the Week today after he struck out 10 in six innings while walking none on Sunday. And after we get off the air today, we're going to have the Twins and Mets on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Baseball on tap tonight, as Kyle just mentioned, the Twins placing Byron Buxton on the injured list for the next couple days, so they'll make do without him in center field as they take on the Mets this evening. 319-366-1600, the newly acquired Martin Maldonado in the starting lineup tonight for the Chicago Cubs as they take on the Cincinnati Reds. We'll get into the machinations behind the Mike Montgomery, Martin Maldonado. That's a lot of M's in one Major League Baseball trade with Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. He's set to join the program momentarily. The text line very upset that we did not include an ice-cold beverage as an option on the poll question. Don't blame me. I did not put the poll. You know what? I can edit the poll question for you, BJ and Marion. I will put an ice-cold beer as an option. I'll do that, and then we'll bring Ed Creech of MLB Trade Rumors on as our number three kicks off the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
And Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This just in, the Angels will be without slugger Mike Trout a second straight game tonight against the Astros as he continues to deal with a small strain in his right calf. Brian Goodwin will start in center field. Newly acquired right-hander Andrew Kashner set to make his Boston debut tonight versus Toronto. Red Sox looking for him to upgrade the rotation and give them legs so they won't have to use their bullpen as much. Kashner has gone at least six innings in his last five outings and has a 1.41 ERA since the beginning of June. Tiger Woods today admitted his win at the Masters took quite a toll on him and that the state of his game entering this week's British Open is not at the same level. Woods has played just 10 competitive rounds of golf since that remarkable victory at Augusta National, and there are a couple of concerns for Tiger heading into the Open Championship, notes ESPN golf analyst Michael Collins.
Number one, the tee shot. If he hits any of these fairway bunkers or gets a little sideways, like off the first tee, it's going to be a huge problem. But everyone's talking about the weather. For Tiger, it's not the wind or the rain conditions. It's the temperature. And if that temperature stays under 60, guess what? Tiger's back is not going to loosen up.
Woods' back issues among the reasons he's been forced to play a reduced schedule. At SEC Media Days, Georgia football coach Kirby Smart said the Bulldogs' theme going into this year is do more. Georgia's gone a combined 24-5 over the last two seasons and has won back-to-back SEC Eastern crowns, but has come up short of winning a national title, partly because of costly losses to Alabama.
Coming up Wednesday, we're close. Only 50 days until the 2019 NFL season kicks off, and Fitz and I continue our adventures at football summer camp. Plus, how much longer will Jadeveon Clowney be a Texan? Golic and Wingo, Wednesday, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Let's talk about Noah. Last year, he had a fast food delivery job. The hours were garbage. The pay was worse. So he went to My Computer Career. In less than 6 months, Noah started his IT career. Now he's in line for his second promotion. Is your job garbage? Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with Progressive Box.
I wrote this next song for a gal from Cheyenne. She'd never have told her how Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats. She said if they could love her pooch as much as she did, then so could I. Well, I couldn't. This next song's called Cat Person. It was a rough, rough night in Wyoming. The cat was out of the bag.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
After an off day, the Twins begin a lengthy homestand on Tuesday night. First up, interleague play, a two-game series with the New York Mets. Hi, this is Corey Provis right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn with you in the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids for the final time this week. I will step aside tomorrow as Kyle slides into my chair. Kyle and Alex will be talking with former All-Star center fielder Andrew Jones, a 10-time Gold Glove winner, one of the celebrity softball participants in the softball game that Perfect Game is putting on at Veterans Memorial Stadium later this month. That and two Big Ten previews tomorrow as the countdown to kickoff comes to a conclusion. We'll make up for Chris Solari not being with us yesterday discussing the Michigan State Spartans, and the Ohio State Buckeyes will also be covered tomorrow. And then Thursday, Alex and I are in Chicago for just under 48 hours. We'll be there for Big Ten Football Media Days on Thursday and Friday. Make sure you tune in. And if you miss anything, you can head on over to KGYMradio.com and check out the podcasts afterwards. Beer has been added to the poll question. I think it's only appropriate given the fact that it's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. So there you go. Now an ice-cold beer, also an option for beating the heat. 319-366-1600. As we mentioned last night, the Chicago Cubs and Kansas City Royals have gotten together for a trade. Mike Montgomery goes back to the organization that originally drafted him. And the Cubs get Martin Maldonado just in the nick of time as Wilson Contreras goes on the 10-day injured list. With us to discuss that deal and more, Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com, who joins us every other week during the baseball season on Tuesdays. And Ed, there were a lot of Chicago Cubs fans who were disappointed to see this trade last night. I was not one of them, but Mike Montgomery will forever have a spot in Cubs lore as the man who threw the final pitch of the 2016 World Series. At the same time, a good reminder that this is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately business, right?
And he hasn't done much for the Cubs lately. Mike Montgomery's always been a tweener for Joe Madden. He's never really been a starter. He's been more of a long reliever. And basically whatever Madden needed for the pitching staff, that's the role Montgomery filled. And up until this year, he had done it fairly well, as you mentioned, getting the last out of the clinching Game 7 World Series in Cleveland in 2016. This year, underperformed. He's been hurt. Montgomery's always wanted to be a starter, so I think this is going to be a fresh change of scenery for him. And the Cubs have had an interest in Maldonado. They were after him in the offseason. They wanted to sign him as a free agent. But Maldonado was looking for playing time, which he knew he was going to get behind Contreras, which is why he signed with Kansas City. And now with Contreras on the DL, Maldonado is going to, I would assume, get the lion's share of the plate appearances while he's on the injured list. But Caratini is going to be an interesting one. Joe Madden has talked since the All-Star break about the biggest need for the Cubs is having a professional at-bat, somebody to come off the bench and give them a professional at-bat. And with Ben Zobrist still AWOL, it wouldn't surprise me if they turn to Victor Caratini as that professional at-bat coming off the bench, especially when Contreras is healthy and off the IL. I can see them carrying three catchers until the rosters expand and using Caratini as that professional at-bat off the bench. So I think this is not more this deal is not just geared towards replacing Contreras while he's on the 10-day injury list. I think this is the first step to maybe acquiring that professional at-bat that Joe Madden's wanted, and they found it in-house, and I think it's going to be Victor Caratini.
Is there anything more that the Cubs can do to address their needs before the July 31st trade deadline?
Well, I think now that you've gotten rid of Montgomery, you really do need a left-hander coming out of that bullpen. They tried that again at the trade deadline last year when they acquired Wilson from Detroit. That didn't work out extremely well. There are a lot of left-handers available or in the rumor mill of varying degrees of salary and controllability. Ranging from Will Smith, I know Tony Watson, also with the Giants, Jake Diekman, who's with the Royals. I know Elias from the Mariners is being talked up about now being a low-cost acquisition who's also controllable. So I think there's a lot of left-handers out there that would be available to the Cubs. Also, don't forget, a very small sidebar to this Maldonado trade. They actually took out a marginal bit of salary. Maldonado, I believe, was making 2.5 this year. Montgomery was making just a tad under 2.5. And when the Cubs are really, I think the last report was somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 million up against the luxury tax, the highest level of luxury tax cap, there's really not a whole lot of salary the Cubs can take on in this deal. So, their hands are going to be a little bit tied. I think they're going to try to find an economical left-handed reliever. As far as position player, you know, I just don't think Romel Garcia is going to be the bromide they're looking for. Caratini, Garcia, these are the kind of guys you're going to have to rely on, I think, unless the Cubs are able to move salary in a deal, which not a lot of teams are going to be willing to take on salary at the trade deadline. That are sellers. So there's a lot of handcuffs on Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer. It'll be interesting to see what they can pull off in the next 3 weeks.
Well, you mentioned that they would maybe have to move some salary if they were making a deal. Now, we've seen one member of the 2016 World Series winner go out the door. What about a Kyle Schwarber and Addison Russell? I know we've discussed their limited trade value or trade market in past appearances on the program, but nothing seems to be off the board at this point for this front office.
I don't think so. I think you have to be creative. I think Schwarber, if you're going to try to pull a deal similar to what the Pirates did last year when they acquired Archer, when you're giving up two premium prospects to obtain Archer, the Cubs don't have a lot of those premium prospects, so they're probably going to have to do something like off the major league roster, like Schwarber or like Russell. I think of the two, I think Schwarber would hold the more appeal, but then again, he's held in high regard in the Cubs front office. And again, you'll have to get a lot of creative to replace the power that he provides in the left-handed stick. I know Bryant can play the outfield. You can put Bodie at third. If Garcia continues to hit halfway decently, you know, if Russell can get going, I mean, you can overcome the absence of Schwarber. But he'd be one. I think of the other one, Ian Happ is another one that it may be batted around. He's not had a great year at AAA. Again, the Cubs farm system is not wonderful. They're really going to have to become creative. They may have to part with a Schwarber, but then again, you know, what's the ask going to be? Where would Schwarber fit? Would a National League team who has a left-handed reliever or a bullpen depth want to put him in his outfield? For example, San Francisco. San Francisco, Oracle Park has a huge outfield. Schwarber would be lost out there. Schwarber, I think, profiles better in the American League. But again, does his value match up to what the Cubs need? It's going to be a tough sell. I think if the Cubs do anything, it'll probably be a left-handed reliever, probably at the margins. So unless they swing big and involve some big names like we talked about, Schwarber and Russell, I just don't see the Cubs making a whole lot of name-worthy, attention-grabbing moves.
What about the St. Louis Cardinals? Two games over 500, two games behind the Cubs in the division. They're currently in that second wild card spot. They don't seem to have a whole heck of a lot to sell. They've got a lot of holes that they could fill, but you're not going to fill all of them at the trade deadline. If you're John Mozeliak, where are you at right now?
He's in the same boat that a lot of National League clubs are. And I think you're really going to see them wait to the last moment. Now, that doesn't mean they're not having conversations until the trade deadline, but as far as pulling a trigger, I think they're going to wait right till the 31st. Ken Rosenthal had a piece about the Cardinals being open for business on the outfielders, Tyler O'Neill, Lane Thomas, even maybe Carlos Martinez. I think, you know, what we just talked about, the Cubs, that if you're going to move somebody, you may have to move somebody off the roster to get a bigger piece. You know, I think the Cardinals are going to be open to that. I think right now everybody's mediocre is not the right word. Everybody's in the same boat, playing the same way. It's like their feet are quicksand. Brewers, Cardinals, the Padres, there are a few games out, the Rockies. I mean, the Phillies are another one who's treading water pretty fast. Nationals are on the upswing. So you have quite a few teams who, even before the All-Star break, 2 weeks before the All-Star break, you didn't think would be factoring into the wild card situation. They are now factoring in. For the Cardinals, I think a lot of their improvement is going to come from within. One, they need to get healthy. Ozuna needs to get healthy and performing. They need to have Paul Goldschmidt of the Arizona Diamondbacks, now who's been playing for the Cardinals for this first half of this season. Matt Carpenter's another one. Molina is hurt. I think for the Cardinals, they really just need to get healthy, and they need to have the veterans they've acquired produce like they have in the past. I think that would solve a lot of the Cardinals' issues. Cardinals are also having problems spinning their wheels with the rotation in the bullpen. So the division is open. Everybody's been just, now that the Cubs, now that the Brewers have really sputtered the last 3 weeks, losing 18 of the last 27, everybody's just waiting for the Cubs to go on a run and take over the division. And if that does come to the bear, then you're talking about playing for a wild card game, a one game crapshoot. How much of your future do you want to mortgage for one game? And I think the teams, what we've seen the last year or two or three, is that teams are very hesitant to mortgage that. Now, granted, the Cardinals have missed the playoffs for the last 3 years. Will they be more motivated? I really don't think so. I think they're going to stay true to what they want to accomplish down the line. I don't think they're going to mortgage the future, especially if it's just going to be for a one game wild card game. You know, maybe they can get creative with some salaries and move some things around to get some younger talent in there. But right now, the Cardinals, as I said, they need to get healthy. They need to have their veterans produce, and they need to find some stability in the pitching staff, both in the rotation and the bullpen.
Ed Creech with us of MLBTradeRumors.com, his biweekly segment during the Major League Baseball season. As bad as the trade situation is for the Cubs as far as butting up against the luxury tax, I've seen a lot of people say that the Brewers are almost in an even more unenviable situation given the injuries and some of the issues facing the Brewers. Has anything changed on the front with Milwaukee as the trade deadline gets closer?
I think so. David Stearns met with the media before tonight's game. And for the Brewer fans, if you're reading into what Stearns said, was when you are a buyer, that means you think you have a team that can compete for a division, compete for the playoffs, and go deep into the playoffs. And he said, I don't know if we're there yet, that they're still in evaluation mode, that the next 2 weeks are going to be very key as far as deciding which direction the Brewers go. The Brewers farm system is not tremendous. It's mid-pack, mid to bottom third. So it's not like they're going to be able to package a lot of prospects. They pretty much shot their wad last year in what they did with, you know, acquiring Yelich and doing their trade deadline deals from Stockhausen, et cetera. So I think right now, again, as a team that's lost 18 of the last 27, this team needs to show David Stearns in the front office that they are worthy of being a buyer in the next 2 weeks. There are needs that they can have, like the Cubs. I think the Brewers could use another left-handed reliever. I think Will Smith would be a perfect target for them. He and Jeremy Jeffers were close when the two played together a few years ago. Maybe that'd be the spark to get Jeffers back on track. He has struggled. the key thing for the Brewers, why I think the biggest, one of the big reasons, the bullpen has exploded the last week or so, more so as perfect example what happened in the Giants series, but their hitting has disappeared in the clutch. 0-for-7 last night with runners in scoring position, and that's really not something you can acquire on the trade deadline. Somebody who can hit with runners in scoring position. This team is horrible. With runners in scoring position, they're last in the National League. And that's not something you can solve with just one player. You can strengthen the bullpen. You can maybe add a starting pitcher. Gonzalez was on a rehab start last night and pitched well. I wouldn't be surprised if he's reactivated within the next week. But I think the structural faults that we've seen in the Brewers this last 3 weeks is probably greater than what one or two acquisitions can do. And I think Stearns acknowledged that this afternoon. So if the Brewers are able to get their mojo back, drive in runs in the clutch, get some quality pitching from their bullpen, then I think that will motivate Stearns to be more of a buyer at the deadline. Otherwise, I think they're going to try pretty much just hold pat and gear up again for next year.
Ed, not to overreact to four games following the All-Star breaker, but are the Pittsburgh Pirates playing themselves into sell mode?
I don't think they're in a weird situation. Being a small market team like they are, Neil Huntington has always kind of thread that needle between being a seller and being a buyer. When he buys, it's usually for somebody, a player who has team control beyond just this one season. You saw it last year with Keone Kayla. You saw it with the Chris Archer deal. I think there are some things that are motivated for them to sell, not just their record, but just because they have a glut of outfielders. Brian Reynolds has done a really outstanding job. And he came over in the McCutchen deal, which many had panned. Polanco is still working his way back. He suffered a setback last night in his rehab game. Marte. So I think going forward, those are the three outfielders they want to go with. Corey Dickerson is a free agent at the end of the year. He's pricey. I think they're motivated to sell him, not because of where they are in the standings, just because he's going to be a free agent. They're not going to issue a qualifying offer. And he's expensive. So I think they're going to be probably motivated to sell him. Elsewhere, there's really not a whole lot. I think Huntington got burned last year, let's be honest, on the Chris Archer deal, giving up Meadows and Glasnow. So I think what they're trying to do is recoup a little bit of that prospect cost in a Corey Dickerson deal. Otherwise, I think, again, the Pirates are going to probably tread water. If they can figure out a deal that will remove some salary this year, give them players with team control beyond this year and even 2020, I think it's a deal they'll move. But otherwise, again, I don't see them being real active unless they pull a surprise and decide to move Vasquez. Vasquez is an outstanding trade chip. He's on a very team-friendly contract. He's a left-handed reliever, dominant closer. They could get a nice little prospect haul for them if they decide to do that. But I think that would send the wrong signal to their fan base, who is worried and jaundiced with this regime anyway, from owner Bob Nutting all the way down, that this would be flying the Jolly Rancher, but not in a positive way.
Ed, let's switch over to the American League, the latest deal there, the Baltimore Orioles shipping Andrew Cashner to the Red Sox. Boston's 51-43. They're 9 games behind the Yankees, but they're only 2 out in the AL wild card. Can Cashner make a difference there?
I think all Cashner really does is just solidify the back end and gives him an opportunity to be competitive when that spot in the rotation comes up. That's, the back end of the rotation's kind of been a sinkhole for the Red Sox this year, and I think what Cashner does is just stabilize it. I don't think that gives Boston any greater odds of overtaking the Yankees, but I think it just gives them what it does is lengthen out their bullpen, to be honest with you. You have Cashner, somebody can go 5-6 innings on a consistent basis and keep you in a ball game instead of having to figure out, okay, I've got somebody who's going to pitch that fifth day. They may go 3, they may go 5. I'm going to have to burn up my bullpen, which isn't solid to begin with. So Cashner is not a spectacular move, but it's somebody who will solidify the back end of the rotation. It'll have the trickle-down effect of helping out the bullpen, lengthening out the bullpen, not being so tired out having to pitch multiple innings every fifth day.
Let's stay in the AL East. Good move for the Yankees to bring Luis Severino back out of the bullpen?
I think they have to be careful with him. This is very similar to what we've talked about in the past this year and last year with Carlos Martinez. You have a very prized young, young arm who they signed to an extension during spring training. This is somebody who they have see as an ace of their rotation. So you have to be careful with it. With him being hurt all year long, that's a nice way to ease him back into it. But I think, to be honest with you, if the Yankees are going to go deep this year, they're going to have Severino as a starter at the front of the rotation. Because even though they've gotten out to a great start right now, that starting rotation for the Yankees is underwhelming. And when you get into a short playoff series, I don't know if I feel real comfortable with the current rotation the Yankees have taking you into a 7-game series against the like of the Astros, or if they get to the World Series with a team like the Dodgers.
Ed, the Minnesota Twins open the post All-Star break stretch with games against the Cleveland Indians. They survive that. They've got a 6-game lead on Cleveland, but today Byron Buxton goes on the injured list. What do the Twins need to do in order to maintain that gap between them and second place?
Just get healthy and stay healthy. It's like, today was two steps forward, getting Rosario and Cron off the injured list, but then Buxton goes on. I think this is what the Twins' issue has been the last month. All of a sudden, the injury bug has struck them. I think for them, if they're going to be active on the trade market, I think, again, they'll probably go bullpen. Maybe they may even pull a surprise and get a stud starter. We talked when Keuchel was still on the market that veteran would be a great presence in that starting rotation. I think a great get for the Twins. I think they should be serious players for Madison Baumgartner. Now, Baumgartner is not the ace. I don't think he's the type of pitcher to strap the team on his back and carry you to a 7-game World Series record like he's done a couple of times in San Francisco. But I think just the pure veteran presence that Baumgartner would bring, that postseason experience, I think would be immeasurably valuable to the Twins. And I think with him being a rental, I think they have enough salary this year. The owner, Jim Pollard, was even talking about he doesn't think money's going to be an issue. So the question's going to be, what is the Giants ask? I think Baumgartner would be an outstanding add for Minnesota. Maybe get some more help in the bullpen. I think the position players, if they're healthy, I think that's solid. I think right now the thing that I'm concerned about Minnesota is their playoff experience and just getting some veteran presence, both in the bullpen and in the rotation. Like I said, Mad Bum, I think, would be a perfect fit for Minnesota.
I'm interested to see what happens with Madison Baumgartner, because you mentioned his productivity isn't quite at the level that it was. He's a rental. His
right.
contract is up at the end of the season. Is this one of these things that's going to come right down to the wire where both sides, whoever the Giants are dealing with, or both sides think that they have the leverage, and it might be one of those right at the wire type deals?
I think so. It may not be as close to the wire as the Verlander to Houston was last year, but I think a wild card in this is going to be what the Diamondbacks decide to do with Robbie Ray. Ray is controlled for another season, I believe, through arbitration. His numbers are comparable to Baumgartner this year. Ray, I'm not a big fan of. I think he's prone to walks and home runs. I think he could be a left-handed Chris Archer. So I think any teams that would be interested in Robbie Ray, buyer beware. But if the Diamondbacks do strike a deal with Ray, then the teams that are still looking for the left-hander star who are after Ray, they may fall back to Baumgartner then as the clock ticks towards midnight, and that may give the Giants their leverage. If the Diamondbacks, it looks like the Diamondbacks want to hang on to Ray as we get closer to the deadline, then I think the teams may have more bidding for Baumgartner. But I think as long as the Diamondbacks are floating Robbie Ray and there seems to be enough of the piranhas feeding after him, then I think the Giants' leverage with Baumgartner goes down until a decision's made one way or the other on the status of Robbie Ray. So, again, I think for a team that's looking for a mid-rotation starter with outstanding experience, playoff experience, that veteran leadership, I think, Mad Bum it would be my choice over Robbie Ray, even though Ray has control for another year.
Ed, we have not had a chance to talk with you since the All-Star game a couple weeks ago. What do you make of Justin Verlander's comments about the baseballs this year and Rob Manfred's seeming indifference to being called out?
Well, Manfred's got to toe a very tight line here, because he has to have a thick skin, because if he reacts to anything the players say, that could impact the labor negotiations. So I think Manfred is just going to take the posture, let the players vet. We presented our side. The player said, for most of the pitchers that you talk to, they say, well, if the ball is juice, fine, just tell us that it's juice and we can compensate. But Major League Baseball said, we've had our physicists look at this. They say there's less drag on the ball. We don't know why. The ball's not juice. It's not in the ownership's best interest to have the juice ball, because we've seen what happens with this three outcome style of baseball we've had. So I think it's just a case right now of a narrative that the players think the ball is juice. They think Major League Baseball is lying to them. I think, to be honest with you, I think this is just a stand-in, for all the other underlying issues between management and labor. The way the free agency has gone the last couple of years, Manfred and his ideas for pace of play. I think right now all that frustration is just kind of bubbling up on under the guise of the juice ball. It's kind of like you're yelling at your wife because she left the cap of the toothpaste off. Well, that's not why you're really mad at her, but that's what sets you off. So, if the ball is juice, doesn't make a difference. You still have to play with what you have. And so I think the pitchers moaning and complaining about it is actually doing them a disservice. I think Yelich and Bellinger had the greatest line about the juice baseballs when they were mic'd up during the All-Star game. They said, hey, we love it. So there you go. The hitters love it. The pitchers don't. Get used to it, because that's what we have right now.
We're seeing Rob Manfred explore a bunch of potential ideas as far as pace of play, as far as entertainment value goes. There's the Atlantic League, where you can now steal first base, and there are robot umpires, and there are all these different ideas. And Manfred himself said that he's going to suggest to the competition committee that they have a three batter minimum on pitchers. Do all of these moves sort of reek of desperation at this point?
I think so, with the exception of the automated strike zone. I think there's going to be enough complaining on the strike zone that if they had some sort of automation, I think that would bode well. Tennis had gone back to the automated line calls several years ago, and it seems to have worked well. The one test, I think there was only just one ball that was probably in dispute, that the home plate umpire said he would have called a strike, that the automation called the ball. The biggest problem with the technology, and we saw it during that Atlantic League All-Star game, was what if it goes out? Then you got the strike. Then you have the umpire back calling the strike. So I think there's enough of groundswell from players, ownership, fans to see an automated strike zone. So I think as long as the technology is there and doesn't slow down the pace of play, I think that was probably going to be something that's going to happen that I think would actually be a beneficial to the game. As far as the other stuff, you're right. It's cosmetic mumbo jumbo. The three hitter minimum, I think, is ridiculous. I'm kind of interested by the stealing of first base. I think that would be something that, could be an exciting play to juice it up, because, again, I think the biggest reason why baseball is having their issues, or their perceived issues, is because this is, again, we mentioned, it's becoming a three-outcome sport: walk, strikeout, home run. There is not enough action during the inning as far as balls being put in play, making fielders field the ball, either through flyouts, groundouts, popouts, whatever. There's just not enough of that action. And they have to figure out a way to generate more batted ball action. And I honestly, at a loss to come up with one. I mean, it's the same thing for, like we mentioned with the Brewers, of how bad they are with runners in scoring position. It's put the ball in play. If you have a runner on third, less than two outs, get the ball to the outfield, a fly ball to drive them in, lay the bunt down. It just seems that these fundamentals of moving runners over or putting the ball in play when you have a runner in scoring position just seems to be lost on this generation of baseball players. And until they can figure out a way to encourage the hitters to, not be so selective at the plate and to try to encourage them to put the ball in play, I don't know what's going to I don't know what's going to help. I mean, it's like in basketball, you got to shoot the ball. You got to shoot the three. You can't be afraid of your next. You can't be afraid of the miss because that's going to. You have to, you know, in hockey, you got to shoot the puck. You've got to be aggressive. You've got to put the ball in play. And in baseball right now, people are settling for a strikeout, walk, or home run, and they're happy with that.
Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, Ed. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
And Jesse Rogers, our pal from ESPN 1000 in Chicago, reporting within the last half hour or so that apparently things were not all copacetic with Mike Montgomery and his teammates in recent weeks in Chicago, that perhaps his struggles had been magnifying some tensions between himself and some unnamed teammates, but he was not happy about being in the bullpen, and apparently that bubbled over into discontent among the locker room, and now he's a member of the Kansas City Royals, and Martin Maldonado is handling Alec Mills behind the plate tonight, just the way that we all saw this going down in April and spring training. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, very active tonight. Always appreciate hearing from everybody out there who's listening, be it on 1600 AM or one of our two FM frequencies, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City. You can also check us out online, streaming at kgymradio.com. While you're there, vote in our poll question. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. We want to know what you do to beat the heat. 6:33, we need to take a quick timeout. When we return, Kyle will have the third and final Big Board update of the night, brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. They've got a brand new permanent location, and they've got a grand opening this weekend. We'll tell you all about it after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Hi, this is the Gym's Todd Brommelkamp, and I'll be broadcasting live from the Sadler Powertrain Off-Road and Outdoor event Saturday from 11 to 3. The Best in Show grand prize in the Show and Shine contest is $500 with $250 prizes for the baddest Jeep and the baddest truck. All Jeeps and trucks are welcome. Admission is $10 and includes workshops, vendor training sessions, giveaways, and lunch from County Line Barbecue. See you Saturday during the Off-Road and Outdoor event at Sadler Powertrain in Cedar Rapids. Check out Sadler Powertrain's Facebook page for full event details.
Sign your kids up for the Metro Youth Football Association's 2019 season. Safety is always number one, so like many colleges, all kids will have guardian caps this year, and every coach is trained and certified with USA Football. Backed by popular demand is the Modified Flag Football Program for third graders with pads to introduce tackle techniques with no kid-to-kid contact. Fourth through eighth graders play tackle, and everybody learns and has a blast. Practice begins mid-August, and equipment fitting starts soon. Get more info on their Facebook page, Metro Youth Football Association in Cedar Rapids.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you ready for a smart rocking summer of 2019? Here's your summer checklist. Beach towels, beach balls, and beach apparel. Check. Smart rock. Check. Grilling utensils. Check. Live music and deeper tracks of smart rock. Check. Vacation plans. Check. Smart FM app for your mobile device. Check. There. You are now ready to smart rock your way through the summer of 19. Smart FM.
This
is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. If you're getting off work and looking for a great place to watch the Cubs and the Reds and enjoy a happy hour, why don't you go to Buffalo Wild Wings? It's called Happy Hour for a reason. Get to Buffalo Wild Wings now for $2 domestic drafts, $3 select premium shots, $5 loaded nachos, and more. Get here and get happy at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
After an off day, the Twins began a lengthy homestand on Tuesday night. First up, interleague play, a two-game series with the New York Mets. Hi, this is Corey Provis right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back in. It is 6:36 on a Tuesday evening here in Eastern Iowa. Our best to you and yours. Appreciate it, as always, you making time for us, whether it was on your drive home, whether you're still at work, or however it is you find yourself listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We are going to be on the road Thursday and Friday in Chicago at Big Ten Football Media Days. Coming up tomorrow, though, a great program lined up for you. Kyle is going to be filling in for me with Alex as I'll take care of some personal stuff before heading to Chicago to join up with Alex, former Major League Baseball All-Star and 10-time Gold Glover Andruw Jones will be on the program, as will not one but two Big Ten countdown to kickoffs. We'll take a look at Michigan State and Ohio State. I think Woodja's getting squeezed in there with the 6 o'clock showdown. You guys are pulling out all the stops tomorrow because we're going to be so busy talking football on Thursday and Friday. Plus, you'll have an opportunity to take home another $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We're going to be back at Mulligan's next Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. In the meantime, we owe you three big board updates a day on the program. Time for that third and final big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. You can find them at their new permanent location on 422nd Street, just a couple blocks away from the Sinclair gas station. Or you can check out the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
Iowa State took the podium at Big 12 Media Day today in Arlington, and Matt Campbell unsurprisingly made sure to downplay the degree to which his team is listening to outside noise entering the year. And in sticking with no surprises, the team's first depth chart is pretty much what was expected. The team returned starters all along the offensive line, 8 starters on the defense, and really the biggest questions are who will replace David Montgomery and Akeem Butler. Both 4-star freshmen Jarrell Brock and Breece Hall are listed in the running back competition, and Campbell said today that JUCO transfer receiver Darren Wilson, who stands 6'3", has flashed possibly the most speed on the receiving corps. Quarterback Brock Purdy was named to the Davey O'Brien watch list, which goes to the nation's best quarterback, and he's joined there by Iowa's Nate Stanley. College Football News handed out its preseason honors today, and 3 Hawkeyes were named to All-American teams. Alaric Jackson and A.J. Epinesa made the first team, and Tristan Wirfs made the second team. Epinesa was also selected as the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, and Amir Smith-Marset was honored as the Big Ten's Kick Returning Specialist. The Cyclones had Jaquan Bailey, Ray Lima, Greg Eisworth, and kick returner Kenny Nwangwu selected to the All-Big 12 team. The Cyclones added to their 2020 recruiting class yesterday evening. 3-star Illinois defensive tackle Willis Singleton pledged to Iowa State over offers from Cincinnati, Mizzou, and Michigan State. The Colonels are off tonight, but Kaiway Teng was named the Midwest League Pitcher of the Week after he struck out 10 in just 6 innings after and walking none on Sunday. And after we get off the air, we're going to have the Twins and Mets on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Alex, again, we circle back to collegefootballnews.com naming A.J. Epinesa the preseason Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, and note that A.J. Epinesa has yet to start a game in his college career. You mentioned earlier the possibility that he could be a top 15 draft pick. I've seen him as high as number 4 on some very, very early mock drafts. Are we putting too much on A.J. Epinesa's shoulders before the season starts?
No, we're not. He's that good of a player. He was the best defensive player on the team last year, despite the fact that he technically didn't start a game. He was the most impactful player on the defensive side of the football. I don't know how much more he has to prove as a prospect before people start taking him seriously as a potential top 5 pick, like you've said. And he's a guy that I think that even if you bring extra attention to him, he has the ability to get after the quarterback, unlike most in the country. So I don't think there are too high expectations on him because he has proven already that he is a great, great football player.
319-366-1600. Our apologies to Dan in Swisher. He wanted us to ask Ed a question about the Washington Nationals, and Anthony Rendon didn't get a chance to see that in time. But as you and I have talked, if there was one team that's perhaps made a decision to inch toward being a seller, it would be the Pittsburgh Pirates. They've been off to a very disappointing start out of the All-Star game break. The opposite could be said, and we have mentioned, of the Washington Nationals. This was a team that was pretty much left for dead about a month ago. And all of a sudden, Max Scherzer, although he's on the injured list now, looks like vintage Max Scherzer. The offense is coming around. They're getting pitching. And the Washington Nationals look like a team that could very well be poised to make a move or two here before the deadline. A month ago, they were talking about possibly exploring trade options for Anthony Rendon, who is a free agent at the end of the season, or even, and this is almost unthinkable, moving Max Scherzer if the deal was right. So I think you'll see Washington make a deal or two. I don't think Kansas City is done just yet. We didn't get too far into the specifics with Ed, but there's a rumor that they may put Jorge Soler on the market. The one player that seems untouchable in Kansas City, and it strikes me as a little odd, is Whit Merrifield, who's a valuable ball player. He can play a little in the infield, but Ned Yost likes to play him in the outfield. He's got some pop, he's got some speed, but apparently the asking price for Whit Merrifield is three MLB-ready players. I don't know.
So basically untouchable.
It's kind of like having a garage sale and maybe your wife or your spouse tells you, this has got to go. I don't want this in the house anymore. And so you wind up putting an exorbitant price tag on it because you know no one will buy it as your way of hanging on to the past. Look, I don't think anything is going on with the Royals this year or anytime soon. I think they're back to being the Royals that unfortunately we've seen pre-2014. Flip those assets. Build up that farm system. I know it's really tough for fan bases to hear that, but I think Kansas City's back at that point where the window has firmly been shut on them. They had a great run. They won a World Series, and it's over. And now what? Well, now you've got to maximize what you've got on your roster, and their first step toward that, they did not have anything wrapped up in Martin Maldonado after this season. It was a one-year deal. He was going to be a free agent in October, and now they get Mike Montgomery, who has a couple years of control left, so they're able to flip a player that they would have not have received any compensation for losing in 2.5 months. They've turned him into a little bit of control in Mike Montgomery, but that's not a trade that a team that's looking to contend anytime soon makes, in my opinion. Mike Montgomery coming back to the organization that drafted him in 2008 is nice, but to me it looks like the Royals are just spinning their wheels a little bit here unless they decide to make a drastic change over the next 2 weeks and lower the asking price on Whit Merrifield. Three Major League Baseball ready players for Whit Merrifield.
He's good. He's not that good.
He's good. He's not that good. And Jorge Soler is an interesting case. He's got, 25 home runs or something like that this year. He's the player that Cubs fans were hoping he always would be when he was signed by the Cubs out of Cuba. But everybody's got 25 home runs this year, right? I mean, part of the problem here is the value in the home run has been depressed because a lot of guys are hitting home runs right now. So Jorge Soler is not perhaps the attractive piece that he would have been a decade ago.
I don't think that he is a guy that Cubs fans can sort of look back and say, wow, what if we kept Jorge Soler? Because believe it or not, Wade Davis was a very important part of that team for 1 year. I thought they should have signed him even longer because he was so good out of that bullpen. If you want to go that route, are people saying the same thing about Dan Vogelbach? Oh, he has 25 home runs this year. I don't know. I look at both of those guys and think that they're in a situation where they're allowed to play every day on bad teams, and their numbers sort of get inflated a little bit because of that.
Dan Vogelbach, who was traded to the Seattle Mariners for Mike Montgomery in 2016. Mike Montgomery, who was on the mound for the final out of the 2016 World Series. Mike Montgomery, who will forever live on in the hearts and minds of Chicago Cubs fans, except he's actually living in Kansas City as a member of the Royals now. And Jesse Rogers again reporting that 90% of Montgomery's tenure in Chicago was positive, but recently, within the last couple weeks, perhaps there was some negativity surrounding him, his desire to be a starting pitcher, which I understand the Royals are going to stretch him out and start him on a regular basis, perhaps led to some dissension among the ranks. I don't think Jesse is naming names, but we'll see whether anything comes out on that or not. But sounds like there were maybe some clubhouse issues toward the end of Mike Montgomery's time with the Cubs. His ERA and his WHIP, both the highest of his five-year career, just has not been as effective. They've got Kyle Ryan, Randy Rosario. They could possibly, as Ed pointed out, get another left-handed relief option in a Will Smith or a Tony Watson. Tony Watson, who happens to be a native of the state of Iowa. We'll see. I don't think they're done yet on the trade market, but given the fact that they are so tight with the luxury threshold, chances are they're probably going to have to make a cost-effective move or two. So it's going to bind Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer even more so. 6:47, we'll take our final break here. When we return, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. Kyle and Alex will be before the show packs up and heads to Chicago for Big Ten Football Media Days. We'll let you know what's in store on a Wednesday edition of local programming here on KGYM. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Back with more after this.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota M-Series tractors. The Kubota M-Series are designed to provide farmers with a fuel-efficient, high-performing, and versatile tractor with excellent visibility, spacious, dependable, and up to 168 horsepower. The Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to tackle any job.
To experience the power of Kubota, visit CycloneKubotaDealers.com for a participating dealer near you.
Valvoline is the only motor oil brand with a dedicated engine lab. And here, we test everything. We test seal conditioners to keep older engines from leaking. We test detergents to help reduce soot. We test additives that protect against wear, increase fuel economy, and fight carbon buildup. Why? Because we won't settle for being less than the best, and you shouldn't either. Valvoline, trusted for 150 years. Go to O'Reilly Auto Parts now and get 5 quarts of Valvoline full synthetic high mileage with MaxLife technology and a filter for just $34.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Stugatz here. We all have home projects we put off for too long. What's stopping you? For lots of people, they worry about overpaying and not getting a fair price. That's where Home Advisor can help. Their true cost guide shows you what others paid for similar projects. Then you can get matched with top-rated pros, read reviews, request quotes, and book appointments all for free. Home Advisor makes it easy to get those projects done so you can relax this summer. To find the right pro at a fair price, just ask Home Advisor. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. The 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
Tuesdays are the worst. They're all that stands between you and the downhill part of the week. But now they're a lot less worse, because Wing Tuesdays at B-Dubs are buy one, get one free traditional wings. So Monday, you may kick off the week. Wednesday, you may have a cool nickname. Thursday, you might be the almost weekend. But watch your back, because Tuesdays just officially became Wing Tuesdays. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
Buy one traditional wings order and get one of equal value free. Participation and promotional details vary by location. Check in with your favorite Buffalo Wild Wings to learn more about this offer.
After an off day, the Twins begin a lengthy homestand on Tuesday night. First up, interleague play, a two-game series with the New York Mets. Hi, this is Corey Provis right here on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And we welcome you back in. We'll get you to the Twins Radio Network momentarily on 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. We will pick up national ESPN coverage for everybody else. That includes 106.3 FM listeners. Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning, Golic and Wingo, followed by the Dan Lebatard Show. Then it's Stephen A. Smith and the Will Cain Show before local programming resumes with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes every day at 3 o'clock. Brought to you by Third Base Brewery, just like KGYM, Third Base, proud to be locally owned. A quick reminder, we got a lot going on in the coming days here at KGYM. That includes this Saturday, but first, Thursday and Friday, we'll be in Chicago for Big Ten Football Media Days. And Saturday, you can catch me broadcasting from 11 a.m. until 3 o'clock in the afternoon at Sadler Powertrain here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. They've got a great show coming up, trucks, Jeeps, details available on their Facebook page. A big thank you to Sadler Powertrain for having me out there on Saturday. Tomorrow on the program, I'm out. Kyle is in. You guys are going to be talking Michigan State and Ohio State on the final countdown to kickoff stop, plus 10-time Gold Glover Andrew Jones.
That's right. So Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press is going to join us. Bill Landis covers Ohio State for The Athletic will also join us. And yes, Andrew Jones, looking forward to catching up with one of the best center fielders, fielding-wise, that we've ever seen.
All that and more, a 6 o'clock showdown, an opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road inside the third and final hour of tomorrow's show as well. So make sure you tune in not only to Scott and Mark, but to Kyle and Alex as well. If you missed anything from today's show, jam-packed with guests, our podcast will be available shortly at KGYMradio.com. As we mentioned, North Gym listeners, 107.5 FM, off to Target Field in the Twin Cities. The Twins have a great opportunity. I think this is a 9-game homestand or something like that for the Twins. Unfortunately, Byron Buxton goes on the injured list, but they do get Eddie Rosario and C.J. Krohn back in that offense for Rocco Baldelli. So that'll do it for a Tuesday edition of the program. The next time you hear my voice, I'll be in Chicago at Big Ten Football Media Days. Talk to you then.